The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, a Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We've got joint practices with the Eagles, we've got transactions, we've got injuries, we got a game tomorrow night here at Gillette Stadium. The gang's all here, and as they come in, they come bearing food, so this is going to be very difficult. I'm standing here looking at, well, I don't know, pork chops, chicken, salad, macaroni and cheese. It's going to be very hard for me to continue doing the show without stopping and eating. But anyway,
all right, let's take a break then.
Anyway, the gang's all here. Paul, Eric, Andy, Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. And they just got off the practice field and with the players. The last of the three joint practices with the Eagles. Today was just a walkthrough. I don't even know if the Eagles were out there at the same time, but on another field. Or
no, they showed up together.
They were together. They showed up like half hour late.
Yeah, they were a little late. But
second,
they did everything together, 7-on-7 team, everything, you know, on sides, all that walkthrough crap.
Walkthrough stuff. Yesterday was raining, steady rain, so it was a little bit different. Both coaches took the opportunity to practice in foul weather. I would say overall, we'll talk about transactions and injuries, but in terms of the joint practices, I didn't think the Patriots looked as crisp as they did last week.
Not even close.
Now,
I give the Eagles some credit for that.
Right.
Last week, Brady and the first offense just went through the Redskins like they were barely there. Every time he did those hurry-up drills, he was just boom, 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 marching down the field. Certainly, there were a lot more balls hitting the ground. There were a lot more tight windows for Brady throwing into. He pulled the ball down a couple times because he had no receiver or was under pressure. Yeah, they definitely had to earn it more. But as Brady said, that's a playoff caliber football team you're practicing against, theoretically.
Right.
So they should be a little bit better.
Right. So do you think that in terms of anything to worry about in terms of what you saw? We're not talking injuries yet or anything like that, but
no,
you know, the lack of tight ends, anything like that, that showed up more this week than it did last week.
Well,
no,
just the only thing was Brady, I think, had a much better week going through the Redskins defense than he went through the Eagles defense. I don't know if he's going to really even play that much, if at all, again this week. So if he does, I would look for that to see how he does against the Eagles' defense. But nothing to really worry about now.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. So let's go into we'll get into more detail. But I also want to lay get some things out on the table. Mayo missed his third straight practice today. Is
correct.
That correct? What is his deal?
Yeah. Don't know.
Don't know.
We don't know. That worries me.
I wouldn't be worried.
It's still too early to worry.
I'm not that worried about it because I think if he had an injury, someone would report it. Like if he had a significant
injury.
Would
have got out there?
Yeah. I think.
Okay.
I think he's a pretty popular guy. I think a lot of guys talk to him pretty regularly. And I think if he had something significant, and I'm not saying he's not dealing with like a,
right,
you know, maybe a tweaked hamstring or something like that. But if he had something significant, I think that someone would have, you know, a Mike Reese or a right. Jeff Howe, someone around the team would have come out with something.
And then Solder.
And I haven't seen anything as far as I know.
Solder walked off today. Yeah, what was his deal?
That's another good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was he limping? Was
no.
he?
No. No, but he was walking really slowly too.
He was walking, you know, just off the field with
a
trainer.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
I wonder if Bill is, to be honest with you, the way he has sort of been in and out of the lineup. Not, and maybe he's dealing with something physically that caused him to leave the field today.
Right.
But if he were, I'm not sure he would have been out there, you know, as one of the few ones that played
right.
in the first game.
And then the transactions. Patriots made a bunch of them, shuttling in tight ends in and out of the of Gillette Stadium. Is that any indicator? Because there was a report, I'm not sure where it came from, that now Gronk is 50-50.
I know
week
where
one.
It came from. It came from Florio. That's the worst report ever. He's right either way.
Yeah, but Florio gets it always from someone else.
Maybe. No. He doesn't always. Sometimes he just reports things that he hears, sees, whatever.
Well, that's what I mean. And that he hears or sees.
Well, every reporter does 50, that.
50.
They either hear it or they see it.
No, but you
it.
Know
that's
what
how
I
you
mean.
Report.
From this other
was,
reporters.
No, because he cites those. This was not cited. There was no link to, you know, Jeff Howe or Tom Curran. And he's right either way.
Yeah.
If Gronk plays, he was right.
He could say, well, I said he had a chance to play. And then if he doesn't, exactly.
There was a nothing report. I don't buy it. I think it's bull crap. I think it's just mere hits. Bull crap.
Okay.
Other actual Gronk-related news, I say. Paul Perillo and I were discussing, this week he has not worn his big black brace. Now, he's still not taking part in team segments and contact work and all that. But previously, he'd been wearing the big black brace for everything. He's no longer wearing it. He was doing some drive blocking with teammates with pads. And I just wonder if they've moved on from that, which I think is a good sign.
Yeah, sure it is.
Because I thought he dropped the ball quite a bit in a lot of those, I call them the HOF drills with Revis
with
and Brady.
Revis.
There were some drops. Now, I may be extrapolating and saying that the brace could have something to do with it, but I don't want him wearing that the rest of his career. I don't like that.
No.
Either he's still hurt or it's still a concern, or mentally it's something.
Right.
So
just
to
like
get
you
rid of that, I think
just
is
like
good.
You don't want a running back or a receiver wearing a knee brace.
Yeah,
when
I just
they
don't.
Run.
Right. I just don't.
If you don't need it, don't wear it.
So he hasn't had it all week. I think that's a good sign.
Okay.
As far as the Florio report, not worth the screen it was read on.
Okay. Anything else in terms of transactions?
Well, yes, the tight end thing.
Yeah.
Clearly, they don't have tight ends. They have this week's tight end is going to be Steve Maneri, who last time he was here wasn't a tight end. Like he's a borderline tight end, and he's going to be the only tight end you have out there besides Super Jimmy. You know, Jimmy will probably chip in if he needs to, but it's not about Gronk to me. It's about who man and having any tight ends at all. Gronk, we know what the situation with Gronk is. He's coming off a major injury. He has health concerns, and he's great when he's out there.
But he's out there, at least showing up in practice, doing some things. We haven't seen who man at all.
For all we know, he doesn't have a leg.
Are you shocked that Hartsock got released?
Well, you
got
to hand it to me to tell you
on Thursday. Paul said he was going to make the roster.
Right.
I said that I would be surprised if he didn't make a run, and 2 days later, he's out.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to hand it to me. Once again, finger on the pulse of the team.
Couple things I want to throw out there. Andy, if you want to jump down my throat for this, by all means. But Bill Barnwell, I believe he writes for Grantland or Sports Illustrated, one of those big
Grantland,
really thinking man's publications.
He's a football metrics guy for Grantland.
Simple tweet yesterday. Would the Texans be interested? Would the Texans trade for Tom Brady? I don't know. He didn't back it up why he was saying it.
Was he just writing an article to get hits?
There was no link.
The Texans would trade for Tom Brady. Everybody would trade for Tom Brady, especially the guy who likes him almost as much as anybody on the planet, Bill O'Brien.
I'm wondering if anyone else saw that. I didn't. It had a ton of retweets and a ton of.
Of course
favorite.
It did. It's Florio-like. But I'm just crap flies on Twitter
but,
and the internet.
But I thought it was very. There was no links. There Andy, was no. It was upset. Just would the Texans be interested in trading for Tom Brady?
Why wouldn't they? They were a team
that
a year ago.
But yeah, that was the it.
Entire.
That was it.
They're a team
no
that
he didn't even use the 140 characters.
No follow up.
Nothing that I know of. I don't follow Bill Barnwell. It was retweeted by someone else.
No, just don't worry about it. Move on.
Okay. And then
that's a perfect spring talk radio topic, but it's not relevant in any way to the here and now.
Okay.
It's just ridiculous.
All right.
Of course they would. The Patriots wouldn't trade him.
It's silly.
And then another rumor I heard.
It's so ridiculous.
Yesterday,
it is. That's so irresponsible. That word that he used with Michael Holly, that's irresponsible.
The other rumor I heard yesterday was.
You're hearing a lot of rumors.
Don't rule out.
Look, fellas, I am sick of this.
Tony Gonzalez joining a team late in camp. You know,
can I get some context? Where did you hear this? Where'd you read it?
It was not online. It was offline by a know-it-all.
Tony Gonzalez said it.
Offline by a know-it-all.
So there's no reason to like look into. It doesn't matter who said it.
Well, a lot of people have talked about.
What
it.
Do you think about that?
A lot of people have talked about it.
How can you say it doesn't matter who
it
said
it? It wasn't like ownership
it does matter
or anything like that.
No, but if Adam Schefter said it, I'm going to take notice.
Okay.
If Mike Florio said it, I'm not.
What do you think about that?
I think there's been a lot of talk of that. He still wants to win. A lot of people have said he might consider joining
a
winner.
There's been talk of that since last year when he said he was going to retire.
Right.
That wouldn't stun me.
He actually hinted at that in the offseason.
If you're the GM of the New England Patriots, would you be interested?
Obviously.
In that?
Especially with the way their situation is now.
He was still good last year. If I can just sign him for a prorated deal that cost me whatever at the end of the year, hell yeah. Did you read, was that an ESPN or a Sports Illustrated? There was a long feature on him that I read. He's clearly unfulfilled. He clearly did not. Last year he came back for one more year and the bottom fell out and that did not sit well with him. It mentally ruined
him. He just
wants
a ring?
Yeah, he's unfulfilled. I mean, he's played forever. He's as good as there has ever been as a receiving tight end, blah, blah, blah. And he's got nothing to show for it. So I think you could lure him into coming. No question. Come play with Tom Brady. We're 11-3 at this point or wherever you're going to add him somewhere in November. I think he would do it in a heartbeat.
How excited would you be if he did that?
Very.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah.
It's not like he's a name who wasn't good last year. He was good last year.
Right.
Like, remember, we had to rape him to stop him.
Right.
It's
okay. True.
It's okay for you.
In
to
that
say
particular
it.
Game, that's
I
true.
That
right.
Mad at me.
We had had it. We were like, okay, we're done with this guy.
So a guy that
right.
Bill thought that much of, and Matt Patricia thought you wouldn't want to add them to the offense, at, by the way, the position where you have Steve Mannieri and nothing else right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. Perfect fit. And I assume he can get out of his CBS deal, right? I mean, those aren't binding. Or like Dion went and worked out with the Ravens and came back.
All
with
of them,
and,
you know, for these guys that aren't retired yet, usually have that clause.
Tim Tebow still can get out of SEC.
I think he actually said as much when he signed with CBS.
Right.
That you know he would be interested maybe in coming back to. A
I think
team
there's
later
a 50-50 chance he probably will come out of retirement.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him play again.
Now, I'm reporting that
whether it's here or somewhere 50-50. Else, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
50-50. Just report it, Paul. There's a 50-50 chance Tony Gonzalez comes out of retirement and plays late in the year.
Right. Either he does or he doesn't.
Right.
I'm feeling pretty good about my sources on
those
that.
Those are your two chances.
I think my sources are going to come out right.
All right. Okay. So,
all right.
So there's
also a 99% chance Terry Bradshaw's still alive.
There's some fodder for discussion. Webradio at patriots.com
so
is the email address.
Just in case he died in a car accident earlier this morning, I hadn't heard.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Some other NFL news now.
Whoa. We haven't done with Patriots news yet.
Oh, okay. You got more?
You got all the rumor mill, but you don't have the fact mill.
Okay. Give me some facts.
Well, the Patriots made two trades. They traded Justin Green for Brandon Bass or Bass. Do we know for sure which one it is? It's all about the Bass. But more importantly, they traded for a guy that Paul loved coming out of the draft in 2012, Michigan State defensive lineman Jarrell Worthy, who's been nothing but hurt and is apparently was not worthy of a second-round pick. Now he's worthy of a seventh-round conditional pick if he makes the team. But
could have been a first-round talent.
Could have been. They all could. He tore his ACL 2 years ago, so add him to that club of Patriots. We add guys who...
And he had yet to be... cleared in Green Bay. He had not passed the physical there.
But for back, not for
right.
Knee. He's played
he has not
minimal games.
Out.
Hasn't done much.
I think 16 games in 2 years.
And, you know, add some depth. I think he's probably a 3-4 end. Is that accurate, Paul Perillo? He's a guy that you liked and did a lot of research on coming out.
Oh, now I'm the Jarrell Worthy expert.
Well, I believe
just
you.
Because I happen to be a
guy
that.
You slotted him to the Patriots in one of the drafts.
I thought he was a guy that looked like he fit the Patriots scheme, so now I'm the expert. Yes, I would say that he would be capable of playing.
I call him an expert. He's offended. He gets offended by being called an expert.
Because if this guy could play.
You're clearly not an expert on veteran blocking tight ends.
If the guy could play even a little bit, and you wouldn't be saying, oh, Paul, you love this guy. The fact that he's done absolutely nothing in 2 years is why you're telling everybody
that's
how
what
much
we do here.
I loved him coming out of college.
But, you know, they added two defensive linemen. They have injured defensive linemen.
Right.
You know, depth an issue. We've talked about Will Smith maybe not making the team and not really having done anything to stand out. One of those trades where you trade nothing for
something.
Well, the
other thing about Will Smith
is
if they're going to do this 3-4 stuff and they're going to go predominantly with that, I'm not sure he fits. I'm not sure he's big enough to be that 3-4 end.
But he's big enough to do it sometimes. Chandler's not bigger.
Chandler's taller, but Will Smith's thicker. And I think you're seeing Chandler make that transition as we speak.
Right.
No, but if you have a rotation.
To the outside linebacker.
We've seen him at both. If you have a rotation of Volano, Smith, and Jones, maybe that's.
Yeah, I'm still, if I had to bet, I would say their base is going to be 4-3. And they'll throw a 3-4 in every once in a while. But
I haven't seen a 4-3 in quite some time.
You know, well,
2 weeks maybe?
It's like the second week of
camp. I think they got that down. I think they need to know what the 3-4 will look like and all that. They need to.
You're right. He does that. And they really are doing their homework something, he does the weird thing for a long time and then goes back to what people know.
It's been 2 weeks now.
But we'll see.
Now with Jones out and Salinga hurt, we don't know. Chris Jones, right.
I just
not Chandler.
That. Yeah.
You know, now they have to go to 3-4. I don't know, but you got Mayo out now too. So, I mean, that front seven is really.
But it's actually the opposite. But you need more when you go to a 3-4. You need three instead of two of those kinds of guys.
Oh, the big body, two gap type guys.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's what, you know, and I still think that these are just sort of camp body type guys. Ben Bass is not a guy that I think is changing your depth chart. I think that he would slot behind the Joe Volanos of the world, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, but LT
Tuipulotu.
I don't expect Ben Bass to be vaulting ahead. Now, Worthy is a guy who might be,
in your
if
defense,
he's healthy,
Paul,
he might
your,
be capable
in your defense,
of that.
In the 3 years he started at Michigan State, he didn't miss a game. I just looked it up.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about his play.
He's been injured for his whole life. Here.
No. You know, I know.
Not act like
now,
that,
I know. Yeah. You know. Listen, I know the Michigan State guys. You have the fondness for.
Yeah.
But I thought he looked like he fit the old style 3-4 that the Patriots used to run, and that was he was a guy I thought was pretty athletic for that spot. So, you know, he's not like one of those man. What was he like? Is he like 300 pounds? His exact measurements right now, I don't have off the top of my head, but I don't think he's one of those 340-pound, you know, slobs that didn't have any movement. He was a little bit smaller and more athletic. Yeah.
He's 6'3", 315.
315, even a little bit bigger than even I thought, but he's a little bit more mobile than a lot of those guys can be. That's why I kind of thought he was intriguing.
One of the reasons I hope
and is nodding in approval with his barbecue chicken.
One of the reasons I hope they stick with a 4-3 and can do that is because I don't like Chandler Jones as a linebacker. You know, I'd rather see him on the line.
I kind of agree.
I do too. But he says he likes it. He's very comfortable doing it. He's having fun with it. That he's dabbled with it all the way back to high school.
Can he cover?
No.
He should be able.
Could Willie McGinnis cover?
I know.
No. He should be able
so
to do it,
let's not expose guys who, you know.
But it's what they like to do, and Willie McGinnis didn't lose games because he couldn't cover, and he was not a coverage guy.
And there's no reason why.
You bang a back every once in a while.
He shouldn't be able to do it. There's no reason. He's too athletic to not be able to. I don't want him dropping 25 yards into zones, but there's no reason why he can't get out on a flat and make sure that, you know, a Darren Sproles type doesn't go out completely unchecked.
Coverage issue is Hightower.
Hightower is the guy
who was once again chasing Darren Sproles.
I felt bad for him yesterday. He spent the whole offseason saying how much he hated that.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, Mayo's not here. Yep. I got to be out there, and he was chasing
He's
Darren
very
Sproles
open
around
with it.
Yesterday.
He wants no part of chasing small backs down the field, and we always get to points where we see him chasing small backs down the field.
The Bill Barnwell
Does your sister know Worthy?
No.
Does she? know him.
Oh,
no, but
God.
I watched him play. I watched him play in person three times.
Okay.
Jab in Halifax.
Hi, Mr. Worthy. Nice to meet you. No, I watched you play in college three times.
Is, though, I think he had like Fred. 4 or 5 sacks from the tackle
position. That was awesome.
The tweet Bill Barnwell sent out about Tom Brady was a sarcastic shot at all the reports about QBs with links to the Patriots being traded to the Texans. Mallett and yesterday Hoyer. It was a media rocket shot Paul would be proud of. Check. Okay, well, he didn't really kind of, for someone like me, I wouldn't have known that, so that's dangerous.
But that really makes sense, though, because I know that they did have something about Hoyer. When Cleveland signed Rex Grossman, people took that as a sign of they wanted a veteran backup for Manziel, and now they were going to deal Hoyer, and Hoyer was going to Houston. Because everybody that has a quarterback is going to trade him to Houston, because everybody in the NFL wants to make sure that Bill O'Brien has a good quarterback.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, so now that makes sense to me, that the way that person just explained that.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Another Barnwell thing. Before the show gets sidetracked and people lose their mind, I follow Barnwell, and the Brady tweet seemed pretty clear to be sarcasm. So I don't follow him, so I don't know what led up to that.
How did you see it in the first place?
Yeah, who brought it to your attention?
It was on my timeline, but somebody had retweeted it that I do follow. Oh. Yeah. So I don't – okay, I didn't know the context. I just thought it was curious. Jimmy Garoppolo, has he built on his performance, and does he look any better in practice than he has in the past?
I don't know if he's looked – dramatically better in practice compared to other practices. I don't think he's certainly looked any better than he did in the game the other night. I still think that game was his best performance so far. But I will say that I thought today they were doing the walkthrough down and distance situation stuff at the very end. Brady got, I think, 2 series at the very end, maybe 3, and then the next time the Patriots offense went out there, Jimmy got the reps, Mallett stood behind. And I thought that was a little interesting only because Mallett's been hurt for a couple of days.
Right.
He came back. Who knows?
But I did notice on Monday that Mallett was right back at that number 2.
He was.
And Mallett was there during the team periods today, too. It was the hurry up at the very end that Eric is talking about, that Jimmy took the
so for those up. Of you, updating your depth chart, Mallett still is the number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
No, I'm just you were asking about what he's been.
No, I know.
That was just something that was a little out of the
On Sunday and Monday, I would have said that it was the same old Garoppolo in practice. Tuesday, I thought he was a little bit better. I thought he made some more consistent throws. I saw some signs of improvement. I've read a lot of people talking about how he looks like a different guy. That I don't see any lack of confidence with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't see when he's throwing picks, clearly, you throw a pick, you're not going to be celebrating. Your head's going to drop, but I don't see this sort of, woe be gone attitude out there by this rookie who looks like he's,
I'll tell you what, he wasn't chasing a ball in tall grass. He's a confident kid.
He looked nervous at, when he first started the practices here. But
that's to be expected.
I
think he's gotten better at that.
That's what
I thought Tuesday was a pretty good practice. The joint practice on Tuesday, I didn't see any of the rain yesterday. So judging from all I've read, everybody struggled in the rain. Had that much of an impact on practice that
it was bad.
Tom Brady had a ball slip out of his hands that he was trying to throw.
Yeah. He did.
So whatever Garoppolo did yesterday, I would completely,
When he makes a mistake, it's certainly not like you remember a few years ago when the Jets were on Hard Knocks?
Yep.
And there was that segment where Sanchez
starts sucking.
Yeah, Sanchez was in the meeting room with the quarterback's coach, and they said, "What do you think you need to do better?" And he goes, "Well, stop sucking."
Right.
And he was like, "Woe is me." That's not Garoppolo. When he makes a mistake, he gets a little upset with himself, but he's not to that degree. He bounces back pretty quickly. I think he's had a better week this week than his other weeks.
Right.
As far as practice.
I just noticed they brought down deconstructed cannolis.
Yes.
That's a good idea. So it's like a cannoli shell that you dip into the cream. Wow. And here I am doing this show. All right,
get on that quick because there's not going to be a lot left.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andrew was first up. He's from Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Andrew.
What's up?
Is Paul with y'all?
Paul's with all.
I am, and I'm ready to take my medicine. I said Ben Hartsock had a good chance to make the team.
I heard your voice, or at least I was confused between you and Eric.
No, I'm here.
I was wondering what your voice sounded like, because I sort of forgot.
Wow. Andrew, that's a first on this show, because no one ever complains about me talking too little.
Yeah. And no one's ever confused me and Paul before.
My fault. Like I said, I haven't called the radio, so then that amount of time, I pretty much forgot the voices, sort of. But, I hear you guys. Well, I just wanted to know first, did you hear about the little tweet from the Eagles reporter saying about Revis was getting torched in one-on-one practice, like one-on-one?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really agree with it. Earlier in that practice, I watched Darrell Revis blanket Jeremy Maclin like he was just another receiver.
Yeah, Revis was giving up on plays.
Revis gives up on plays, and it's hard to, you know when he's been beat, when he says, okay, I'm beat, I'm giving up, or when he just decides the play is over. I certainly wouldn't be banking on anything based on what I've seen my receiver do against Darrell Revis in these practices. But, yes, Eagles people were very excited. I think it was Jeff Maclin, something like that.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin. Yeah, I sort of agree.
No, the reporter we're talking about. Jeremy Maclin beat Revis deep on a number of occasions. That's true. I think that Andy and Eric are right. I think that most of them involved Revis sort of at some point.
Mossing it.
Yeah. Pulling back on the throttle and going half speed. But he got beat. Listen, that happened. He got beat.
Honestly, I think he's not going too hard in practice. I don't think he should. A man of his talent shouldn't have to spend a lot of energy in practice.
I don't know if I totally agree with that, because Tom Brady has immense talents and spends a lot of energy in practice. But I have to be consistent.
Have more energy on the practice field than Tom Brady.
I have to be consistent. I've always said I would like the Patriots to get a pass rusher who took plays off. And we don't have that yet, but we have a corner now who takes plays off in practice.
You can't have a corner who takes plays off.
No, you can't.
Number one.
Ends up poorly.
This would certainly run counter to everything that we've been told about Darrell Revis. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
We've heard from Ty Law to anybody that was with him with the Jets and anybody that really talks about Darrell Revis. One of the things they talk about is how hard he practices.
So do you think he's hurt?
Well,
I don't know.
I was wondering if he's still maybe taking that knee injury a little bit more seriously.
But he said he feels better than he's ever felt. Great offseason.
Best
way different
of his
than
career.
Was, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe he's just still being cautious because it is just preseason. Maybe week one we'll see a different player. Like with Moss. When he that first camp, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but Moss did nothing.
Moss
pulled up
practice.
Lame on a ball.
I know.
And then we never saw him again. Now, subsequently, years after that on the practice field, Moss dogged it.
Mm-hmm.
Dogged it's probably not the right word, but he decided when he
off.
Was done with a play.
Right.
And Revis decides when he's done with a play, I just don't know what the reason is.
And I'm fine with that as long as he doesn't do that come week one.
Correct.
Honestly, I was hoping that he would go up against them tomorrow during the preseason, but they said Jeremy Maclin didn't practice today, and he might not even play tomorrow.
I do not think Maclin will play tomorrow. I don't think Revis is going to play tomorrow.
I hope not.
He did not take many reps, if at all, in any of the walkthrough today.
Yeah.
We saw different combinations. Browner didn't take a ton of reps. I think you're going to see a lot of Alphonso Dennard, Malcolm Butler.
Yep.
And other cornerbacks. I would not expect to see Revis. I think a lot of veterans will be back. I don't think he's going to be one of them.
And I don't want to see him, honestly. I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
Or even
well, you
Brady.
Wanted Gronk to take the year off, so I don't know what you want. You want Brady to take the year off, too?
I would like to see.
I would like to see Revis play a little. I would
when?
Like
tomorrow?
Yeah. I would like to
I'm
see.
I'm not sure he will.
I don't think he's going to.
One theory.
Yeah, I would like to see him. That way I know if he's on the field that he's healthy. Because the only thing that's lingering in my mind is what Eric said, that he's maybe still dealing with something, still coming back slow, and I'm wondering that maybe he's not quite 100%. So I would like to see him. In general, you guys know my feelings on preseason with established players. I don't think that it's necessary for the established players. I know Tom likes to have it, so because Tom thinks that it's important, then I would play Tom a little bit because he likes to have those reps. He feels like he needs those. That's what I like to do with guys that are established. If they, you know, once you establish your level of play, sort of go off your clock. When you tell me that you need to have the time, and Brady has been pretty consistent with that. You know, he always says, you know, I'll play as much as Bill lets me play. He wants to be out there. So if he feels like he needs it.
I'd like to see Revis at least for a series.
Me too.
Or two.
Me too, Freddie.
I would.
I would too, but yeah. I don't think you're going to.
I don't think we're going to.
Freddie, do you care? You're a multi-sport kind of guy. You once beat me in three sports in one day.
That's true.
What do you think of Revis wearing soccer cleats?
I don't.
He's the first I've really ever noticed of it.
I really don't care.
Some guys wear short football cleats, but he's the first one I've ever seen, and supposedly he likes that they're lighter. Mm-hmm. I guess soccer cleats are lighter.
Yeah.
But he wears soccer cleats all the time.
I think I saw Logan Ryan follow suit.
Oh, it hasn't worked.
I'm fine with it. Why? What?
He might want to go back to football.
Does that irk you?
No, no. I just think it's interesting and curious when you have an elite talent and they do something a little different and successfully. Now, my guess is he has the smoothest hips and the quickest feet on the field no matter what cleat he wears, but I just think it's interesting.
Imagine how good he could be if he wore football cleats.
Well, he might be slower.
Now, how do you know that other players haven't, you know, like usually defensive backs haven't worn soccer cleats?
Because I notice these things.
But I know he has it's a bright color.
I have
color.
To give him the nod on that. He does notice the absolutely irrelevant.
This is going to turn into a shot.
The absolutely irrelevant is Andy Hartsport's
day. What makes a low cleat soccer and not football? I know the cleat
is a little different. The weight is a little different.
You've actually looked at the cleat?
Well, his says tiempo or something.
To be honest,
they say
with
something
you,
in Spanish on them. They're soccer cleats.
I mean
cleats.
the bottom of the shoe.
We saw his cleats Tuesday, I believe. Andy and I could not have been standing closer to them. He had them off. He was conducting an interview with everybody else. Now, you might have a question here and say, why was Andy and Paul looking at Darrell Revis's cleats while he was conducting an interview? That would be a relevant question, but
because
that's not
the
point right now.
Because I learned from the great Mike Reese, and everybody on this show reads Mike Reese, and when the crowd goes left, Mike Reese goes right, and I'm learning from him.
The only thing is Mike Reese goes right to another player. Andy and I were inspecting Darrell Revis's cleats.
Well, it's a PFW feature.
And they were definitely
the
smaller, lighter.
The Darrell Revis absolutely. Begins with his feet.
I didn't pick them up, but you could see how small they were, and they looked like
they're soccer cleats. They're soccer cleats.
Yeah. They're soccer cleats.
Not cleats. Cleats.
Okay. What
now I don't know. The only guys I've ever seen are kickers that wear soccer cleats.
Yeah. Right.
I've seen low football cleats that some like to wear, which I've always thought was a little weird. I think that's you're messing with ankle injuries and stuff there. Mm. I wouldn't want that.
All right. Let's go to Christian in Florida.
Oh, God, yeah. In high school.
Hey, Christian.
God, yeah. So they weren't a big thing.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
Good.
They were invented, but not no one.
All right.
What's his name?
Leather boots.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Logan Ryan. Because we see him in practice making picks, maybe five, six picks on some wrong, but yet in the game he was terrible.
What practice have you been watching? Because I haven't seen it.
He definitely has not been very good in practice as of late. But he had a good start to camp.
Yesterday. Didn't he have a pick yesterday in camp?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he
No, he did not have a pick. There was some confusion as to whether he had the tipped ball or Butler had the tipped ball that ended in the Chung pick.
But also, don't be confused with a pick meaning a guy had a good practice. Like, Nate Ebner had a pick on Tuesday that he had absolutely nothing to do with. It just happened. He happened to be standing there.
Now, we do know that Logan Ryan had five picks last year and tied for the AFC lead.
Right. And I would say half of those he didn't have a lot to do with.
Paul's down on everybody.
I actually think Ryan had a really good start to camp. I thought Logan Ryan looked really good the first week and a half. I thought he looked good in Washington, in Richmond last week when we were down there. The game he did not play well in, and I don't think he's played well since. I think he's looked like he's been struggling a little bit. Now, I did not see in the rain, so maybe he was a little bit better yesterday. But
I have been unimpressed for most of the summer.
I thought the secondary looked a little shaky, to be honest with you, on Tuesday against Philadelphia. I thought
Philo's a little different. They really spread you out.
Well, their scheme.
Yeah.
Well, plus, I don't know. Are we going to decide who's playing in the secondary at some point? Like, who are my starters? Who's
but
playing
to answer
what?
The question, no, I'm not down on Logan Ryan. I just don't think he's played very well the last week or so.
We might not know that till October, Andy.
I think we know it, because I think Patrick Chung is the now starter at safety. Oh, yeah, we won't know the corner.
Thanks, Christian.
I think Patrick Chung's a starter. I'm stamping him starter.
I would say right now, he earned it.
I don't know if he earned it, but he is it.
Well, based on the competition.
I don't know.
I don't think he's done anything differently than anybody else.
And I don't know
he's had a couple nice hits.
And I will say, I don't know what Daron Harmon has done wrong.
He hasn't
gotten anywhere near the amount of reps that the other guys get.
Now, I also don't know what Daron Harmon did to win the job in the spring.
No.
Other than have a good spring, you know, working out and doing different things like that. But I was never a believer in Daron Harmon, what we saw last year. Okay, he's my starting safety.
Right.
But then I just assumed when we saw him with Revis and Browner and McCourty all spring, okay, so he's your starting safety. He was an award winner. Okay, he had a good spring. And then somehow we got to the summer and the carpet was pulled out from underneath them, and everybody else is getting reps, and he's getting passed over.
I'm not exactly sure how this is going to unfold. When they did some nickel and dime stuff in the 7-on-7, it was Chung with McCourty, and then actually Nate Ebner came in with a dime. Now that they went the full
team. Looks like Ebner's the money.
When they went with the full team period, it was Harmon with McCourty, you know, the full 11-on-11. So I don't know if it's I don't know if they just haven't figured it out. I don't know if they have different thoughts for different personnel groups. I don't like it either.
You know what they say? If you have four safeties,
you don't have,
you don't
one.
Have any.
You have good depth. All right.
That was well played.
That was incredibly well played. And that says a lot about this show right there. And that 5 seconds says a lot about this show.
Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Would you say that Chandler Jones might be like the Julian Edelman of our pass rush? Because of the fact that I don't think he's like a true number one defensive end, but he is still kind of a great defensive end. Because of the fact that like juggling thing Peyton Manning did in that Broncos game, in the playoff game, to me, a number one defensive end would have gotten to that ball.
I don't really agree with your comparison. I don't really understand it.
He's saying that Edelman is the number one receiver, but he's really not a number one receiver. He's our number one receiver.
But
is Chandler Jones, would Chandler receiver. Jones be the number one defensive end for the majority of other teams?
No, but that's just because he's not good enough.
Well, that's what that's his point.
Julian Edelman was a seventh-round pick quarterback who developed into a receiver who, you know what I mean? Like, you drafted Chandler Jones to be elite.
He's not comparing the two players that way. He's comparing the two players. Are they just the best that we have, but they're not good enough to be the best?
Oh, right. I don't know about him yet.
Regardless of where they were drafted.
Yeah, is that what you're saying, Justin?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
The only thing that's holding Jones back is the play. He was drafted high. He's thought of highly. He's big. He's fast. He's long. Everything says he should be.
Yeah, see, I think it's the opposite. Edelman's maximizing himself. Jones, we don't know about that.
You're missing his point. He's not comparing them as players. You guys are absolutely right.
But I don't think anybody thinks of Julian Edelman as a number one receiver.
But he is on our team.
But he's caught the most passes.
Right. And that his
point is, like back in the day when Welker's not the number one receiver. Moss,
of the wide receivers, Edelman is Brady's number one.
He's the number one receiver.
He really is the number one receiver.
If you don't count Gronk, he's the number one receiver.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I guess.
Of the wide receivers.
And I think his point is, while not comparing the pedigree, because the pedigree is obviously first round, last round. I mean, there's no comparison of the talent of the two players respective to what they're trying to do. But he's saying if Chandler Jones was on, you know, Denver or Seattle,
Houston,
he'd just be another rotational guy.
Yeah,
he's our man.
No, I think he'd be.
That's what Justin, okay, I think, is trying
on the
to say.
Cusp of.
Yeah, I got everywhere. More thing before I let you guys go.
Okay.
Gradually, I've started to dislike our draft because when I look back on it,
you mean this current draft? This current draft?
Wow,
even I couldn't do that. We haven't even played yet.
But when I look back on it, we got a lot of number twos that might be number one someday. But when I think about it, don't you think we could have gotten a number one tight end that once Gronk gets hurt? Because or a number one safety that might be better than Daron Harmon in the second or third round?
No.
What do you mean?
You asked me. I said no.
Oh,
you're a fraud.
No, I'm not a fraud.
I loved those guys.
And all the safeties went before we picked. Every safety got overdrafted. My guy I was going to get in the second round got overdrafted. So the guys that I thought were good were gone at safety, and there was one guy left. Was it Fedorowicz?
If this was Robert Quinn, you'd have said that they should have traded up for him.
Yes, but this wasn't Robert Quinn. This wasn't an elite talent. This was a good talent. But at tight end, Fedorowicz was the only one left, right?
Fedorowicz.
All the other guys.
Yeah, too. and all accounts out of New York are... that Jason Morrow has been terrible.
Right. Yes.
So I don't
But I don't even care about that. I'm talking about what we thought of players. Jason Morrow, I thought, was a Hernandez type pass catcher. And Safarian Jenkins, who is wowing people in Tampa Bay, I thought was a number one tight end. I was not sold on Fedorowicz. I think Fedorowicz may be a number two tight end. So to say you had a Gronk fill in a replacement, he is the only guy at either safety or tight end that I think you could have drafted there that may have filled your void and been top level talent. Otherwise, I think they were off the board.
All right, thank you, guys. Peace out.
Okay, Justin.
I don't think Justin liked how that went.
No.
Well, you know.
You ask a question, I gave you an answer.
But that's a good example.
You don't like what I like to say, then don't ask.
What Justin was saying there is probably what a lot of fans are thinking, and what I've heard a lot of talk show hosts on the radio say.
Well, it comes from a lack of knowledge.
Why didn't they get a tight end in the draft?
But they could have. The only one they couldn't have is Andy's safety.
Yeah.
All the other guys were available.
Jason Morrow?
Was available.
To us?
Yes.
Yeah, one.
He was a second round pick.
Oh, in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had to take a guy who, I've never seen.
Yeah.
I never see him.
Who are we talking about?
Easley.
Oh,
I never see him anywhere. He doesn't do interviews. He I don't see him taking.
I didn't know
reps.
He would, I literally I didn't know he was talking about.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But like,
he's come back and done.
No, but
been really like invisible.
Andy's safety was not available when we picked. Everybody else, I would not have taken a tight end.
Well, the safeties were not available.
Right.
Well, what's it? Pryor
Buchanan
was off
and Pryor.
The board.
But we knew
was
Pryor
was
going to be off the board. Buchanan right. was the riser.
I'm
not going to change mine now. I didn't want a tight end, certainly not in the first round. I would have.
He thought we were fine.
I maybe would have taken a. I still think we're fine.
Maneri's fine.
Because if Gronkowski gets hurt, it's not fine. And it's not and it's not any less fine if CJ Fedorowicz was backing him up.
How do you know that?
Because I know. Why can't I have opinions without any knowledge?
You can have opinions.
I had Ben Hartsock on the roster 2 days ago.
And you said the depth at defensive tackle was fine.
Well,
Three days ago.
That I stay with. I think these guys are just camp bodies.
I do too.
I think Bass is a camp body worthy of taking a flyer on. There might be some talent there.
Because
of the injuries. But I don't think that these guys are gonna. These guys aren't gonna end up being ahead of Tommy Kelly, Vince Wilfork, probably not even Chris Jones and Silva Salinga and Dominique Easley. I don't see them being ahead of any of those five.
What about Will Smith?
He could knock Will Smith off the roster. But like I told you at the beginning, I don't think Will Smith fits.
So are we sure that was worthy out there today, 97?
I'm not sure. That's what everybody was saying.
How do they know?
Well, there were two guys out there who were...
I only saw
a I only saw a guy in 97,
right,
helmet and everything.
Right, there was the guy in 97, then there was another guy in team shorts and one of those long sleeve.
How do we know it wasn't Keith?
Keith?
Yeah, Keith, the assistant to the assistant special teams coach, who I don't know who he is.
He's a big dude.
His name's Keith.
Oh.
I know his name's Keith because everybody says, hey, Keith.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know who he is. Well, I'm assuming he's a
taller, like
intern.
A defensive lineman?
Big dude.
He's a big guy.
Oh, yeah, big dude. Yeah.
Could absolutely be confused with a defensive lineman.
Really?
Now, I don't know if he's 315.
No, but he's Keith.
If he's 315.
Anyway,
so I don't know.
I love when I stun you.
They could have both been out there today. I know some people have reported that it was Worthy in the 97 shirt. I don't know.
I don't know if it's faced well enough.
I don't know if I'm Worthy.
You could put 10
guys
up.
James Worthy? I don't know. It could have been anybody.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
That's who I thought they traded.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up, Trey?
Like he's a little old to be playing.
Man, I just woke up, guys, not too long ago. But, man.
Thanks for that info.
Tough night, Trey.
I heard you guys.
Trey,
you
know, it's Thursday.
Hey, you know, I work overnight, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I just, I had to set my clock because, you know, I can't miss you guys every time. So, but,
Well, thank you. Man, I appreciate you getting up for us.
Yeah, man, please tell me that Chung is not a candidate to be a starter.
I think he is right now.
He's a candidate.
When he was here. He didn't give us a whole. He didn't give us what we expected.
He had some flashes, but he couldn't stay on the field.
Trey, but wait, I think you might need to go back to bed.
No, but wait. We have to change what is around him and look at how he fits into the puzzle now. He's not surrounded by Brandon Merriweather, who stinks and can't do his job. If you have faith that McCourty can do his, and faith that Revis can do his, and faith that, well, maybe he is the good physical, he's not a second round pick anymore. He's a JAG veteran free agent you picked up who, he's not bad. He hits a little bit. Maybe he's the fourth. You know what I mean? You have to change the whole
outlook.
Andy
happens to know our system a little bit.
You're right. And they have confidence in him. I think he's a little brown noser, by the way. Every time I see him, he's like talking to a coach and like,
But I have to I understand the physicality that he brings, but man, he is a third and long disaster. I mean, he was.
He might not be out there.
He was then,
you know,
but he may not have to. Right.
He might not be out there.
But listen to me, guys. When he was in Oregon, third and long barbecue. Third and long. Barbie.
And there have been some different combinations.
In the Super Bowl, he couldn't even get over that man to make the play.
That wasn't barbecue, though. That was just missed.
No, it wasn't barbecue, but he effed up. That cost us the game.
This is true.
I think it was a great throw, personally.
It was a great throw.
But,
I mean, it was a great throw, but, man, he don't make plays on the ball.
It's a blind throw.
I mean, but if you guys want to say, hey, if you guys think he's different now,
No. The surroundings are different.
I don't want him any part of my coverage. I don't. I think
the surroundings are different.
I think he tackles well.
And on third and long, my guess is he won't be on the field.
That's my guess.
He tackles, but a lot of times he runs and feeds. The thing is, he looks for the knockout. He won't even wrap up a lot of most of the time.
That's defensive backs in the NFL.
That pisses me off. That pisses me off.
All right.
Just give him a chance. That's all I'm asking you. I think you're gonna first and second down.
I'm gonna give him tomorrow night.
Wow, that's it. So like a series or two.
Tomorrow night. Yeah. But the guys, let me ask one more question. What's going on with Gerard Mayo?
I don't know.
Don't know.
Eric.
That is scaring me a little bit.
Yeah. I wouldn't be scared yet. I don't get a vibe to be scared yet. Yeah. I may be wrong on that, but I get
it's
no
only the
vibe
second,
of scared.
Second preseason game.
I could
not
be whistling
be
past
scared.
The graveyard, but I just feel like if it was something significant, someone would have
reported
it.
Tom Curran would have reported it.
Yeah, not necessarily him.
Well, he's good buddies with him, isn't he?
He might have been.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, I want to leave y'all with my impersonation. I heard you said that I kind of sound like Matthew Slater.
Right.
Well, you know, God has had his hands and his arms wrapped around my cousin.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. That's very well done.
All well right. done.
Okay.
Even Eric would be proud.
You know what we'll do, Trey, later on, you know, when people are saying, you know, you guys should have more players. We'll have you on. We'll pretend you're Matthew Slater.
All right, guys.
All right, Trey.
And then he'll be saying, oh, yeah, Belichick doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right. See, thanks for the call. That's good.
Unfortunately,
now,
Slater's one of the only guys we have had on the
show. I like
show.
That. We should have a contest besides our accent contest, which we never did. We
job.
Should do a thing, listener player imitation contest.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So it'd be Trey and
Trey.
And
I bet you there's a lot
only,
of
and only when he's coming off the overnight.
Listen, I know there's a lot of listeners.
Yeah, just getting up now.
There's a lot of listeners out there that don't call, and I'm sure that they have their hidden talents that they'd
they
like
call
to,
the
bring forth.
The ones with talent call in the postgame.
The postgame.
And how many people do you think know players' voices well enough to have an impersonation?
Well, you know Brady really well. You know Mayo, he talks enough. Logan Mankins talks enough.
Logan,
you would
could,
know.
Logan,
he
you
has
might
a distinctive
be able,
voice.
Yeah. I mean, I think Matthew Slater and Aqib Talib were like at the top of the list, and Talib's gone.
Wee! Brady's voice, you may hear it a lot, but it doesn't really have anything too distinctive.
It's hard. It's
right.
hard
that's
to
what
do.
I mean. It's, there's really nothing there to
it have that strong feminine
except
side
when he gets excited.
The whininess.
Yeah. You know, keep it coming, Charlie.
He's right in his hands. He's right in his hands.
Right, right.
Oh, that one?
Who's Charlie?
Twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Freddie, did you happen to catch my blog entry on fighting that Logan Mankins was talking about?
What? We'll fight when we're ready to fight. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. They
you
like flat out have a what?
You should have put that up today.
They like flat out have the policy of no fighting, no retaliating. Clearly, no one else does.
That's everywhere, because of 2 years ago,
right.
Our cover.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not our cover. It's because 2 years ago, it was out of control.
But we took it to a new level, and Bill was upset about it, and that's why it became a thing.
And that's why Logan goes, one bad time ruins it for everyone. Something.
He's all dejected because he wants to get Penn Simmons in the head, Paulie. Yeah.
But we'll fight when it's time to
happy
fight.
When Matt was pounding
on his head.
Matthew Jane writes
Crowder,
in webradio at patriots.com,
Crowder,
I suppose the trades for Bass and Worthy don't bode well for Chris Jones and Silver Salinga to return anytime soon. Why is it Belichick is willing to make trades for these guys, but for tight ends, we get whoever is on the couch? Are there really no tight ends available that would be worth what we gave up for these two D linemen?
I'm sure there's a Jag tight end you could add that you could cut later.
You could certainly pick up Ben Bass as a tight end.
But why? I mean, so you can cut him
later? You know what? They just did it about four times in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Right.
And they were going to cut Justin Green. So instead of cutting him, they swapped him for a position they'd rather have depth at.
Mm-hmm. Also, Andy and Paul have officially saved the post-game show. No offense to Mark, but I can only make it through about 20 minutes before. Looking forward to my fourth season listening to you guys, and I'll be depending on you even more since I canceled my cable. Keep up the great work and F the Jets.
I would love to cancel my F and cable.
They say 80%, this is a stat I heard the other day, 80% of millennials say that they're not paying for TV anymore and they don't plan to.
What's a millennial?
The generation, the youngest generation that's becoming.
So like 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds?
Yeah, like 18 to 20-year-olds.
They don't plan on paying for cable when they get their own place, basically.
I don't know how you do that, though.
Because they're going to watch it all on, like, Hulu.
Online,
and,
Netflix.
Online stuff. Yeah.
But doesn't that cost money?
Of course it does.
Yes.
See, that's the thing.
And they rape you. If you only get internet, they charge you, like, $75
a month.
That's
the thing I talk to people about. It's like, you know, you say, eventually you're going to pay somebody.
Right.
You need high-speed ether, you know, internet or whatever to get Hulu and Netflix.
And you can't get everything on any one of them.
So as soon as Comcast realizes, oh, our subscriptions are going down, they're going to raise the, the broadband price.
Plus, there's certain things you can't watch anywhere, like the Red Sox.
Right.
You need to get Nesson if you're a Red Sox fan. Mm. So if you're just flat out not a Red Sox fan, it's not a big deal. But if you want to watch it, Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
And maybe
Come on, really?
And maybe they'll go to some more stuff like that free, you know, online. But I, like, why would you want to watch it on a computer screen when you can watch
Well, you can watch it on your TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hook your computer up to the TV. Yeah.
That's true.
But I just, you can't get anything, all of it, anywhere. So now you've got high-speed internet plus a couple different services.
Right.
And I still can't watch the Red Sox. And all of a sudden, my bill's $120.
Exactly.
Well, why don't I pay a little bit more and go back to having everything?
Right.
I mean, I am certainly not someone who argues for the cable company,
no.
But every time I try to figure a way out of it, I see there's no way out of it.
Right.
They got a bleeping monopoly, and they just bend me over every month.
They get you by the short and curly.
Yes, yeah. They do, and it sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. All right.
Comcast,
I mean, it is good.
Boy, that's...
Well, you better than what...
No, I know.
Yeah.
No,
this
that.
Press box
food
just
goes...
Are
you going to eat any more of that cannoli?
No, you can have it.
I'm not sure I'd eat it now with all that chemicals he just sprayed all over.
Oh, I'll take my...
Leave the gun.
Take
the
cannoli. That was all pointed at you. Ugh. God.
Those are really good.
Debbie from Franklin, Tennessee says, just saw this, Andy, from your report on Patriots news site on the app. Oh, by the way, I don't want to cut
he
you
interrupted
off here,
himself.
Debbie, but the
by the way,
the new Patriots app, I shouldn't say new, but the updated Patriots app for Apple just dropped in the App Store.
Dropped
and
it
it's beautiful.
Dropped.
It's a new design, you know, all, you know, really –
Pops.
Optimized for iOS 7.
Oh, good.
And it's really cool. So if you don't have the app or you already have it, download it or update it now. It's available in the App Store. Android's coming later today or tomorrow. So for you Android users, we haven't forgotten you. But check out the new 2014 Patriots app.
Woo! Before you get back to her email, one of our friends and colleagues, Mark Capello, was checking out the app today at practice.
Yeah.
This app?
And the new, yeah, the one that he was just talking about. And he said that his one complaint.
Of course he had one.
He had one right off the bat. And I kind of agreed with him a little bit.
Okay.
Was that in the old app, on the bottom, when you had the little navigation icons at the bottom, schedule was one of them. And that was one of the things that I used to use a lot, too. You know, like in the off season when you first get the schedule,
right.
I wanted to check.
Well,
when is that game again? And he said it wasn't there anymore. You have to take another step to find the schedule.
Now the way the apps are designed, in upper left-hand corner you have those bars. That's like the universal thing for a menu.
Mm-hmm.
And when you click that, the schedule's right there.
Oh, like those three horizontal
bars?
Yeah,
on the upper left-hand corner of your screen.
Okay. So it's nothing.
There was one more step.
It is.
Not really. It's like a half a step. It's not even really a full step.
Yeah.
It's not like you need another page to load and then you get the schedule. It's just that little boom, pulled out.
Yeah, the way the design...
And he said that too.
Yeah, they took away those
lower
icons that you're talking about. And, you know, you'll see in the menu, everything's there now.
All right.
Yeah. There's just so many things like that people like to use. How do you decide
which
ones you should put in the bottom?
Yeah.
So...
Andy.
They did that, but it's cool. It's real nice. The thing I like about it, like, you know how like the news stories line up and you scroll up or down and you go through all the news stories. Well, in the new app, you can either make that narrow so you fit more on a screen, or you can make them really wide so you have less, but you can read them easier. So for an old guy like me, you know, I can actually make the text bigger and I don't have to like kill my eyesight reading it on the phone. So you can do that option in the settings. So I think that's cool. One new feature I like.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Why do you keep looking at me like I should say something?
Debbie, continue.
Usually, you know,
you have something to
say. You always have something to say,
You did seem like you were poised for one of your other remarks on that.
I don't use our app.
No, but you just seemed like you were ready to pounce on something.
Oh, I
like
you were making. I was going to say, I thought iOS 8 was coming out.
It is, but the differences in terms for developers from iOS 8 to iOS 7 is not as drastic as it was from 6 to 7.
Oh.
6 to 7 really required a whole new compiling, they call it, of the app, you know, but 7 to 8 won't.
Okay.
I'm told.
Freddie, from the technical side, how much better are these each additional update? Like you just said 6 to 7 required a whole new. How much better was 7 than 6? Technically.
I think for Apple, they had to do it because there's new things that they're working on that they needed to do, you know, new features that they're coming up with.
It's just like iHome and all that crap.
Yeah, the finger thing and all that crap. They had to, you know, so it required new stuff for the developers.
They've peaked.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so.
Really?
You're going to be my latex.
Here's another
they
stat.
They do a great job marketing, but every new phone lacks anything that's really all that cool.
Here's another stat that might drive you a little crazy as a parent, for example. The cost of higher ed in the United States to educate all our kids in higher ed last year was $36 billion. Apple and Google alone have over $280 billion in cash. You know, so, I mean, think about that. They could.
When you say higher ed, what is that?
College, you know, college, masters, that type of thing.
$36 billion?
$36 billion.
And so they could send everybody in the country to school for a few years.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. That's,
meanwhile, they're building barges and floating them through New Hampshire or whatever.
You know. So I think that the only thing that will stop Apple is if they're just absolutely become stupid. But I think they've got some pretty smart people there.
They absolutely become stupid.
Right. I they've got some. They'll keep developing and innovating.
No, I'm not saying they're going away. I feel like they've peaked. The innovation to me is lacking.
You think so, but, you know, we always say, wow, what else can they do? And then they come up with something. Not just Apple, but I mean technology.
But I'm not sure they're coming up with it at the same rate they once
did. Whole wearables thing, whether it's Google Glass or the watches, a lot of analysts are throwing a lot of cold water on that. It's not the ALS challenge I'm talking about.
I hear you.
Yeah. Going back to Debbie, she's still waiting for me to read her email. Quote of the day from Andy's Wednesday practice update. Quote, the center-quarterback relationship is a pretty special one. I've got my hands on their butts probably more than their wives, so it's a pretty unique trust and relationship that you have. That was from Tom Brady. And she wondered, did Tom really say that? He did. We've got it on video.
Yeah. Do you not trust me? I wrote quote of the day, and I wrote those words in quotes, and then double-dash Tom Brady. Debbie, that hurts.
That hurts
a lot.
He really said it.
You don't respect my journalistic integrity.
Okay. Let's go to LT from Adelaide. I wanted to share my opinion on the topic of the pass rush and the impact that coverage has. Although I agree with Andy that the addition of Darrelle Revis and the improved coverage will not truly impact how fast the rush gets there, I think that it gives the defense greater ability to blitz without being burnt on the back end. Weren't the Patriots' Super Bowl winning defenses predicated on strong coverage with blitz pressure rather than the Giants-style elite four-man NASCAR rush package? I don't remember that Pats ever having elite pass rushers a la Michael Strahan, Jason Taylor, Simeon Rice, or Dwight Freeney, but they did have Ty Law and Rodney Harrison. I also wanted to weigh in on the Calvin Johnson versus Gronk debate. Although they are both elite talents, I would take Gronk for the sole reason that Tom looks more comfortable throwing deep seam routes than deep go routes.
Well, Calvin Johnson can catch anything. He can catch a slant, he can catch a fade, he can catch a go, he can catch a comeback. Calvin Johnson can do it all.
Right.
1-9.
Okay.
Oh, I like it. I see what you did there, Mr. Football. It's great to see.
Phones are...
I know about three of them.
Calls are stacking up again.
Three of the nine. Other than nine, I'm not sure I can tell you what all the rest of them are.
Calls are stacking up again, but before we get to them, we're going to take a quick break. It's around 1 o'clock. When we come back, we're express to 2 o'clock.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson.
Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football. One group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, "Oh, you guys are pussies playing that game."
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, "Oh, who's the pussy now?" So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came. You know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, "Say that again." I'm like, "Who's the pussy now?" And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously,
boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
him. So he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And now, I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something. And he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, are we done?
It's still funny. Every time.
Who's the pussy now? I just feel like someday I'm going to get this call at my house. Hey, Fred, it's Ronald Robinson.
Who's the pussy now?
Richie Campanella and I are outside.
What the F?
We'll meet you outside.
Well, in this day and age.
Oh, you guys are pussies.
Right. It's possible, right? Like, sure. He just Googles, like, who's talking about me? And he Googles his name and something pops up.
I mean, everybody
up, like,
does that, right?
I think we'd have a
you
good
Google
laugh
yourself?
Over that, actually.
I thought that meant the other thing.
I thought you meant one of these days I'm going to call from Mr. Kraft. Why are we saying pussy so
much? early in the show, I mentioned
you guys are pussies.
The new Patriots app, the updated Patriots app, has dropped in the App Store.
Is that what you're supposed to say,
that,
by
it's
the
like
way?
Like a song, like a new song
yeah,
comes
yeah.
out.
I dropped,
like you're
I'm like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
We just Beyonce. Dropped our app.
Although to be oh, no, he's not.
I'm going to come up with a rap about it. But anyway.
Well, it's funny because Fred actually tweeted like that out a while ago, and I retweeted it for you. Right. But I did chuckle to myself that you wrote it dropped because I knew it was probably some sort of lingo.
It's off the chain.
Well, anyway, after I tweeted that, obviously my Twitter blew up. And
sniff.
One of our fans said,
that's
you know, we still need
slice.
To get Patriots football daily as an Android app. And the reason we have it is because in the Google newsstand, they just said we're not big enough to put in their newsstand. So I let the person know, and I guess his name was John, and he just emailing this show now. He says, Fred noted earlier that Google doesn't consider PFW big enough to add Patriots football daily to the Play Store for our Android tablets and mentioned I should start a petition, which I did. I did exactly that. I used change.org, and the link is quite long, so I tweeted it to all of you in hopes of a retweet. I'll include the original link and some free-to-use shortened links as well as a link to the tweet I sent. If you wish to RT it, with any luck, Patriot Nation can convince Google that the Patriots football daily deserves its place in the Play Store. Thanks for the dedication to keeping all of us informed throughout the year. You guys are literally the only radio I'll listen to, and I'm itching to further support the cause with a PFD subscription.
Well, how big do you have to be? Like, what's the...
Well, what I'm talking about, you know, obviously if we just had an app, we could be in with Google. But,
no, I know.
But Patriots Football Daily is a subscription app. It's like it's a publication app. And like Apple, they have newsstands where there you subscribe to these things.
Right.
New York Times, you know, stuff like that. And we tried to get on there and they said we're not big enough. You know, they have like the Hearst publication, you know, those types of things, but we can't get on it.
Don't they know who we are?
I know. Well, they're going to find out because Patriot Nation.
Because they're going to get 103 signatures on change.org.
It's probably more than they usually get.
And four of them will be Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Fred Kirsch, and Eric Scott.
Ted writes in. Free
I'm not sure Eric will bother with it.
Ted writes in, free cannolis in the PFW studio. Paul's Italian chest hair must be standing on end. All he needs now is a Miller Lite and Diet Pepsi cocktail in the rebirth of Northeastern football, and he should be fully ready. Eric,
then,
don't get too excited, but I digress. I have two questions. Who has a better chance to start, James White or Malcolm Butler in week one? I'd say
James White.
Call.
Easily
a tough call.
James White. Malcolm Butler's not starting week one.
No.
I'm sorry. He's not starting.
I would agree with Andy.
James White, it could be a package thing. You might play one play.
But right. Malcolm Butler's that guy that comes in when Chung comes off when they're in a third long.
Let's pump the brakes on the Malcolm Butler
Malcolm
ascension
Butler's
to Deion Sanders.
Malcolm Butler's not on the team yet.
Relax.
James White
but
is.
I'm telling you, he's more.
No, the guys coming in are named Kyle Arrington and
Logan Ryan.
Brandon Browner will be in that Dennard mix.
He won't be there week
one. No, but after that, he's right. Malcolm Butler. Can you stop?
I like what I've seen out of Malcolm.
What Butler. Have you seen?
Him make plays that I don't see a lot of our cover guys do in the last 5 years.
Who was he covering?
I don't care.
Okay.
I've seen other preseason games, Aldrick too, Robinson. Where it didn't happen.
Aldrick Robinson beat him like a rented mule with regularity in practice.
Who has a greater risk of being cut? Steven Ridley or Ryan Mallett?
Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, Mallett.
Ridley will not be cut.
There's a 0% chance, in my opinion, of Ridley. But then again,
Mike Reese, you know, doesn't think it's a lock.
No, he said it wasn't a lock.
I said he was
a lock.
Oh, I think he's a lock, too. We're going to go with the no running back offense? To have a committee, you have to have an actual running back.
He really don't. He gets all wound up.
Well, I also get distracted. Like, I was yelling at you. I was watching the game.
And I don't know why you were yelling at me. We agree. You're just yelling at me.
Who is he arguing with?
I did also say.
Where are the buses?
We had this argument coming out yesterday. People were blowing up James White. And Florio picked up somebody's local story about how James White's taking starter reps or whatever, and Steven Ridley isn't. Now, I was out there. I don't know what exactly this person saw, whoever wrote it, but do they understand that there's passing backs, there's Shane Vereen, there's James White? That may have been hurry up, that may have been 2 minute, that may have been situational third and long. Ridley's not going to be in those reps.
Right.
So, and then they, like, the next paragraph was like Ridley, who's had fumbling. Like, it was this whole thing. And I said to Paul, it's the reason why Belichick doesn't want people writing with the first team and the starter reps and the this and the that, because it blows up and it's stupid.
Right. But the players should be smart enough to know that it is stupid and they shouldn't pay attention to
that
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but obviously Ridley knows what if there was a different package out there.
Right.
He doesn't need to read about it in the paper. He knows what was going on.
You know what? Maybe you might see James White in a preseason game behind the first line offensive line, just to see for once what he could do behind guys who can block.
There's a lot of things that goes on. Right. I think James White.
Give him a shot.
He's might be the backup running back, too.
Yeah.
The running back.
So let's see
what
he
can do.
If Ridley went out, I think that it would be James White as the lead ball carrier, for lack of a better term. I know Bill doesn't like those terms.
You don't think long-term they just say, we got to go with Shane Vereen?
No. I think White is going to go in that direction.
Okay.
Did you hear that Steven Ridley gave my son his gloves the other night at that?
Oh, really?
They're covered in Vaseline.
Yeah. Mm. You believe that?
No, I'm just looking at him.
That seemed rational to you.
Yeah. Covered in Vaseline.
A running back had gloves that were covered in Vaseline. Oh, a running back who has trouble holding onto the football.
Ball still good. T-ball there had silicone on it.
They were absolutely soaked, so Dieter wasn't all that big of a fan of bringing them home in the car and everything. But it was pretty cool. He was pumped.
That is cool.
The only thing I was disappointed, you know how he wears the Batman ones?
Yeah.
Jackson would have lost it if he got Batman gloves from a football player.
These were just normal ones?
These were just
And it would have been great because he got the Darth Vader sneakers that day. He would have Batman gloves and Darth Vader sneakers.
Yeah, Ridley, he wore boring cleats that night. They were just fluorescent green.
Where does he get these cleats from?
Under Armour.
They make these?
Oh, yeah. Under Armour has a whole line of superhero stuff.
Oh, really? So they have a license.
Oh, yeah. They have, like, the T-shirts. I wore one for the marathon, a Captain America, under my Patriots whatever one. No, because unlike you,
and all that,
I don't like all my chest hair just hanging out all the time and the low
he
cut.
He just can't ever just, he's got to lash back.
Right. Just like the Patriots have the no retaliation policy.
Well, I don't have that policy.
Lash back. I retaliate. Belarco is in L.A. and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Great.
I wanted to talk about two things, the tight end position and Brandon LaFell. But before I do, I just want to say that even I don't have cable at house. I just got an indoor antenna, and it picks up all the free channels necessary to watch football. So
yeah, you get the major networks with that. You don't get ESPN, though. What do you do when it's on ESPN?
Yeah, that's one game a year that I have to watch it in a bar or something, but that's one game.
Okay.
Right, but there's other, like, are the Dodgers, I don't know if you're a Dodgers fan or whatever, but are the Dodgers, aren't they on a pay channel?
I don't watch baseball. I only watch football, so I guess that works for me.
Right, I just think it's Fred's thing.
I got this preseason live subscription, so I can watch all the preseason.
And you paid for that, though.
Yeah, but it's like $20, and I can watch, like, all the preseason games. I watch, like, I not only watch the Patriots one, I also watch the other ones, like especially the ones with our rivals in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I barely even watch the Patriots one.
You really like football, huh, Belarco? How did you get into football, Belarco? So passionately.
I I was in Boston. I was studying at Berklee College of Music, and Patriots were the local team, and I used to just cheer with all the other locals around there, and I just had to pick one sport, and I just felt that this was much more interesting. It was like a chess match. It had a lot of strategy in it, and it didn't have like 80 games in a regular season.
Yep.
So that's the sport I picked, and then for the next 2 years, I tried to read all the books on football just to gain knowledge on different positions and strategies, try to inform myself so that I can watch the game like a lot of analysts do. Of course, I'm not there yet.
Right.
I've read a lot of books.
No, but you're clearly very passionate.
Somebody can explain it.
Yeah, you're clearly very passionate. I find that. Is there any sport like football in India?
I mean, cricket is the sport in India. That's the sport everybody watches. Yeah. And,
oh, that's that thing. That goes on for days, right?
That's why you don't watch TV.
It's like Major League Baseball.
That's good, Fred.
We have different formats of cricket. One of them is a five-day format. But then there are also formats that are for like 3 hours. They have like a short format also.
Right. Okay. All right. Sorry. What'd you call in for? I'm sure you didn't call in.
I wanted to talk about number one, the Titans, and number two, Brandon LaFell.
Right.
The Titans, I'm a little shocked that Hartsock didn't make it. Because let's get it clear, with Hoover and us, we do need a blocking guy.
Jimmy.
And also, I just felt that a lot of people don't really cheer for these blocking guys, and they're like, oh, these guys are all jags. They only caught like one touchdown pass. You can't judge these guys this way.
You preach it.
You have to judge these guys on a separate parameter. Like, you have to judge these guys like offensive linemen.
Right. Well, right. You know what? You brought up a good point there, Belarco, because if you are going to relate them to offensive linemen with their ability to block, what we've seen throughout this camp is offensive linemen working as the extra tight end.
Yeah.
And I think that might be one of the deeper spots right now in training camp is the offensive line. I think everybody's looking at it. There could be 9, maybe even 10 offensive linemen making this roster. That would make sense if you have a guy that you could keep as an extra tight end. Because I think you have some talented guys.
Yep.
Cannon has been part of, the quote-unquote first groups with various combinations. We've seen him work at tackle and Vollmer work as a tight end. We've seen Solder the last couple of days work as a tight end. We've seen Josh Klein get out there and be a starter. So I think you do have some extra offensive linemen that are maybe starting caliber. Get them on the field as the blocker. And Steve Maneri, by the way, is really, in essence, an extra tackle.
Okay, and quickly, Belarco, what's your question on Brandon LaFell?
I just wanted to say that I'm actually happy with his progress. I agree. A lot of people are harsh on him as well.
No, he's coming on. I think he's progressing.
He's a number three wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree.
He has.
I think I'm happy so far. We'll see when the lights go on, but I think he's done pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's progressed the last couple of days. Now, the problem with that is he's your number three wide receiver, and you don't have answers at 1 and 2.
Well, I mean, Edelman and Amendola. You just told me Edelman's number one receiver. Why is he?
I'm with the caller.
Jesus.
I'm with the
Good
caller.
God.
He is their number one receiver, but I don't think he would be on most teams.
Andy,
I tried to go.
Go to the bathroom.
I tried. It's in use.
There's one across the hall.
It's in use.
Both of them
in use. There's a lot of activity out there.
Oh, my. His face is turning red. He has to go so bad.
I do have to
just go outside, really. I mean, this is ridiculous.
That really was.
We're in a freaking room without windows.
Go poop outside?
Yeah, I thought that's
something.
What you meant.
No, just wait outside until the
There's a trash pile right there, Andy.
We do have a window.
Wait outside.
There's a window right here, and there's a door right
there.
You
want to get in line because what happens if somebody else takes the...
Relax.
No, I can't relax. I'm suffocating. I'm suffocating. Oh, my God. All right, I guarantee this next caller is not happy with Brandon LaFell. Eldridge is on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, man. Y'all crazy.
We try.
You're right, though, and I agree with Paul. Taking us 1 and 2, he's definitely a 3 in my book, but if y'all think so, hey, time material when you put him in a game.
I like how he's going all in on I'm the big receiver. He had those comments again yesterday. He's got those other guys that he's comfortable with, but in the red zone, you need a bigger body, and I want to be that guy.
Gronk.
Matt,
for 3 games.
From Chicago.
All right, we got it. Sorry, Eldridge. Got to go. Your phone stinks.
He sounds like he's doing one of those songs where they has the little effect that you put on.
Like Cher?
Like Cher used to do, yeah. Sorry about that, Eldridge. Call back, maybe get a better cell connection. Jason's in Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Do we read emails anymore?
Yeah. I'm calling in to ask about how the linebackers have been looking so far, you know, the starting three. How Dennard has progressed and how Devin McCourty is with the rotation of other safeties to his side. And also, the millennial question. Myself, I'm saying it's cheaper in our hindsight to just buy internet and then go off of a relative or family member or a friend who has cable where you can use their login password on the internet to watch the shows that you can't watch.
Yeah, I mean, Comcast, and a lot of them now have the on-the-go option where, you know, if you have it, they ask you.
If you can do it and not pay for it, that's a better alternative.
You can watch on demand. You can watch all the stuff. ESPN has live stuff now. If you're with a carrier that they have an agreement with, you can type in. You can get credentials to watch live ESPN stuff.
As long as you don't, you're okay stealing.
Yeah.
It's piracy.
It's just a problem. From our point of view, is that you know how cable is in bundles, and you have to get through a certain part of bundle to just access maybe HBO or Star. And our viewpoint is like,
sounds like you're stealing your cell connection as well. Sorry about that, Jason.
If you pay for it,
just so
probably
you know, listen,
sound better.
I'm one caller away from deciding it's our
it's
phone
our fault.
And not them.
but listen, I'm telling you right now, folks. These companies, Verizon, they're not going to lose money because people are getting smarter. I'm telling you.
But a lot of people are doing that. I've actually had a lot of conversations with people like,
oh, yeah.
I share my this with them, and they share their this with them, so
there's
all get this.
There's a lot of people that do it.
And HBO and Netflix.
There's a lot of people that don't have a home phone anymore. Right. They don't have a regular landline in their home. They just go totally off a cell.
Well, that I can see because no one talks on the phone anymore. I mean, I don't. It's all text and email. And
I don't, so no one
does. No one does. I don't like the phone, period, but I use my home phone.
I much prefer my home phone if I have to talk to
somebody. I hate talking on the cell phone. Yeah. Hate it. But
when Rich calls after a Northeastern basketball game, then it's 2 hours later.
Well, that's on the way home.
No, they FaceTime now.
I'm quite certain my brother has never FaceTimed anybody but his kids.
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm just calling because I wanted to talk about baseball. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say. Paul's available.
Yeah, Paul's going to have a show Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock here.
Let's talk about cricket.
Hey, don't make fun of cricket. Balarko likes it.
Yeah, that's great.
I think he's full of Balarko.
I was calling because I wanted to know why are people caring so much about who is the second or third quarterback? I mean, if something happens to Tom, God forbid, the season is different. The season maybe is over or whatever it is. So do we really care whether it's Garoppolo or whether it's
low Tom? Down on my list. But it's an issue this year because they did draft a guy in the second round.
And it's an issue also because it's the end of Mallett. I mean, he's at the final year of the contract. Of and you have a young guy that everybody likes to be first. You know, everybody likes to know, you know, the Red Sox got this power hitter down in single A. You watch in a couple. Everybody likes to be first, and you want to be able to evaluate Garoppolo and say he is or he isn't the heir to Brady.
That's why I'd like to see as much of him as possible this preseason.
Especially
to know if he's the heir. There won't be any heir of Brady because Brady is unique.
The Packers thought Favre was unique, and now they may have a better quarterback named Rodgers.
I also think from what I've seen of Mallett in every past and current preseason and training camp practice, I think he's as good as he's going to get at this level. I don't think there's any more room for him to grow, or much more anyway. I'd like to see Garoppolo get to that point, whatever that point is, whether it's higher than Mallett, lower, same level. I want to see that, and he needs more of the reps now than Mallett does.
This
I
hurts,
think.
But I agree with Eric.
He's the future, at least for the next couple of years, so I think we should bet on him.
And I even argued it, I would probably make him the backup, because if Brady goes down, those reps that I give to whoever's next, at least the Garoppolo reps, there's a chance those pay off long term.
It's helping me for the future. Yeah.
So I would definitely be in the consideration of cutting Mallett. I don't think they're going to, and I'd probably be scared to do it a little bit too, but I think I would cut him.
Yeah, but remember that first year that they, you know, had Hoyer, you know, they had three quarterbacks. I mean, when they got Mallett, they kept three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Even though Mallett was a guy that, wow, what a value, you know. And everyone was really excited that they drafted this guy who had all these NCAA numbers. So they kept three. I just don't think that they would say to Garoppolo, you're it. You're the number two now.
Why?
I don't see them doing that.
But why? What's the downside?
There is no reason, no value to do that.
Yeah, I don't think they have to do it. I don't think they will do it.
They don't have to do anything. Yeah. They can do whatever they want. But what's the downside to making Garoppolo the two?
Because at this point, you may get something if there is an injury at another team. Maybe there is a chance for a minimal trade for Mallett. Very minimal.
Well,
that's why they're not saying anything.
Yeah, even beyond that, I got a feeling there's something going on in the team with Garoppolo. I think he's getting the cold shoulder just to keep him humble.
Where does he pull these things? What do you mean?
I don't really understand how you work.
Yeah.
From his teammates?
Teammates, coaches, yep.
Yeah, this is an anti-Italian movement.
Is that the new sniff?
Something about that.
Fred just popped.
Wow.
No, literally, he popped after that statement.
He did. Is he popping?
What? Have you talked to anybody?
I just have a feeling.
He's got a big stupid smirk on his face. We don't have cameras.
I'm looking at body language. I'm looking at where he is on the field in relation to his teammates.
When are you on the field?
You know, I don't have to be on the field to see the field.
The other night you were at some geek convention, and then today I didn't see you.
And by the way, all the kids were seeing you up on the
they loved it.
The screen.
Is that right?
Loved it.
There's Fred.
You're a star in their eyes.
Jackson, Will, TJ.
Yep.
Everybody was calling at you.
The kids are doing well?
Yes, tremendous.
Fantastic. Hey, and last question before I let you go. What do you guys make of the recent moves that we've made acquiring those, training those players with the Packers and so forth? Are we making anything out of it, or we just need camp bodies for training camp?
Well, Paul has always loved Jarrell Worthy. He's always thought he was a good fit for this defense. So
is he
we'll
worthy
see.
Of you, Paul?
I think they're looking at him as the, you know, not unlike what Bill has done a lot in the past, taking a guy in. That was a high draft pick.
Jonathan Sullivan.
Jonathan Sullivan would be one that comes to mind at this time of year, and you take a flyer. Is there anything there? Is there talent there worth? He's been disappointing, but is there talent there worth tapping? The other guy, I think, is strictly a camp body.
A camp body, right? Does it make it? Do we make any conclusions with Anderson, the guy that we signed from the Bears, as him not being into the team?
Well, I don't know. We thought he looked pretty good in practice, in coverage, but then he got to the preseason game, and this, you know, this 100-tackle guy couldn't make a tackle. So I don't know.
I didn't really notice him.
He didn't want to hurt the
You didn't see him whiff?
No, I didn't see him play that much, to be honest with you.
Oh, jeez.
I saw Bo Harness go wire to wire.
You guys might have had a tough angle.
I'm not saying he didn't play at all. I just didn't see him play that much. I saw Bo Harness out there almost the whole game at that spot.
All right, Olivier, thanks for calling.
See you guys.
All right.
Next week.
Okay. Let's see.
And now James Anderson's hurt, by the way, because he's not really practiced.
But unlike Mayo, James Anderson has at least been able to attend practice.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's a big thing for most people. That's not a huge thing for me. But I don't know what the deal is with Mayo, but I feel like he's too big a player with a lot of media guys that talk to him that no one would have anything about that. You know, I don't know. If it was a serious injury, I think we'd know something about it.
Sean writes in, so I know it was all rumors a few weeks ago, but I noticed the talk for Mallett plus draft picks for Andre Johnson has completely died down. Should I just go ahead and stop getting my hopes up like I do every offseason this time that we'll go after a stud wide receiver?
Yep.
Without Gronk, we need somebody, and I haven't heard anything too positive about LaFell up to this point.
Give it up.
Well, you heard some positive things on this show today about LaFell.
Think...
Listen to me. If LaFell can be a consistent guy, I'm not saying he has to catch 100 passes, but if he can produce consistently when called upon, I am happy with him, Amendola, and Edelman as our top three wide receivers.
As long as Gronkowski's there.
And then,
if he's not.
And then, you know, if a combination of Dobson, Boyce, Kendrell Tompkins can round it out, great.
Yeah, again,
if Gronk is there, that makes me feel a lot better.
Of course.
Now, if he's not there, those guys
everything
can't
I
do
just,
it.
Everything I just said is assuming that
Predicated
Gronk is
on
there.
Predicated on Gronk.
Right.
Okay.
Everything I'm, you know. But I think even with Gronk there, if the wide receivers can't produce, you're still in trouble. I mean, you know, if you don't have any wide receivers. But I think Amendola and Edelman are good. Amendola's thing is he's just going to stay on the field, you know? So.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine if Gronkowski's there, but I don't think they're good enough without him.
Let's go to Chris in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, I'm looking a little bit ahead. What do you guys think of the last 2 years on trading deadline? We have gotten people. What about we're still going to get some more people?
That could happen.
You think we've got a receiver?
We're going to trade for a receiver at the trade deadline? I mean, I have no idea who is possibly available. I mean,
Fitzgerald? Larry Fitzgerald?
No, 0% chance.
What about Andre Johnson?
I would say less than 5% chance.
Yeah.
Wow.
These guys have big contracts.
Yeah, I was as big a dreamer about that as you were for a while, hoping that it would happen. But
I'm hoping.
Why wouldn't you just do it now if you were going to do it?
At the end, they might come up with something right there. I mean,
no.
I feel like we're like two pieces away from going to the Super Bowl this year. But I feel like
what do you think they are?
A wide receiver, obviously. And what's the other one?
Wide receiver.
I said that.
I'm still looking for a safety. Yeah. Go next to McCourty.
Yeah, listen. I think that's a concern. I think both of those positions are a concern. To be honest with you, haven't seen much out of the wide receivers.
They've gotten to the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl with the defensive backfield the way it was. I'm not worried about the defensive backfield this season. That's not going to stop them from getting to a Super Bowl. It's going to be offensive production when you come up against good defenses. That's what's going to stop them from going to a Super Bowl.
Do you think that what stopped them in those years was the secondary?
No.
Okay. Well, a lot of other people do.
I know, but despite,
a lot of other people think that they finished last in the league and third down.
Right, and still got to the AFC
Championship. And that's what ultimately was their undoing.
Nah,
and that's
it wasn't.
That's basically where I would fall.
I don't.
Because sooner or later, you're going to come up against someone who scores like you do, and you're out.
And it never they never get ripped apart in you know.
They didn't get ripped apart in the Super Bowl?
Against the Giants?
The last drive of that, the whole game is right there on the line, and they just throw the ball, boom,
and
boom,
if
boom,
the
boom,
offense
touchdown.
Could do what it did, that wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah,
that's what
I
I'm
understand
saying.
That, but you can't always rely on the offense bailing you out, Fred. Sometimes you need to win that game, and they haven't been able to do it.
I understand, but it's not like
I think you're whistling past the graveyard if you think the secondary has not prevented them from winning Super Bowls over the last 5 years.
Look, I'm telling you, with that secondary, they got there. I'm telling you now, with the secondary they have now, they can win it.
And a lot of people think that Revis is better than Tlaib, but they don't know about the rest.
But even that upgrade is better than what we had. That makes them better.
But what if you're just, instead of 26th on third down, you go to 24th on third down?
That won't be enough if the offense isn't good enough.
It might not be enough, period.
No, listen.
I just think to sit there and just say the secondary is not a problem, I think you're...
It's not what I'm worried about this year.
Well, I think the safety spot is worth worrying about.
Yeah.
It's a trouble spot, Fred.
It is a trouble spot when you look at things, but it's in the grand scheme, it's not, you know, thing that you're worried about.
If I have Gronkowski healthy, then safety is my biggest problem. Yeah. That's my biggest worry.
I think we're going to find, if there are problems, that's not going to be it this year.
Okay.
I still hope they can get to the quarterback consistently.
How about, have you guys heard what the Saints are doing? Apparently it's three safeties back.
Yeah, I've heard about it. We don't have two, so I don't know why we want to get an extra one on the field.
I was saying Kyle Arrington back there and Denner.
The big nickel.
Yeah, that's an extra cornerback.
Yeah, that's an extra corner. If Kyle Arrington's the third guy, you're not going to have three deep safeties, so it looks like this big umbrella or shell.
And I do think that there's a chance that you might see four corners on the field out of five defensive backs. And Bill talked about that a little bit earlier this week, how, you know, when you're in sub-packages and stuff, you have to have different guys that play different areas. You might need Kyle Arrington to be playing, quote-unquote, as a safety, or Logan Ryan. We've seen both of those guys get some reps that way. But the fact that they have been, four different guys on any given day have been next to Devin McCourty, to me, is not settling.
No, not at all.
What did I miss? How did you guys get into this?
Paul now believes that defense wins championships. He's converted. He's gone over to the dark side.
The caller
doesn't believe
that. The caller said
that. He just said it.
He thought they were two pieces away from the Super Bowl. They needed a wide receiver and a safety.
And Fred disagreed with them. They got there and they got to the Super Bowl without that, so it's not going to cost them.
I said the rational argument. Offensive production against good teams is what I'm worried about when you get into the playoffs.
So now Fred thinks offense wins championships.
I don't think I ever came down on either side of that argument.
Well, they're arguing.
I don't
through
think
you.
He's like a politician. Right. He's like, I never came down.
I don't believe I've.
That's what
I
you just
on record saying.
You just said it's going to come down
I
to.
I believe
offense
I was for it before I was against it.
I voted present that day
for this particular team. Scott writes in. I would think that with the new emphasis on D-backs holding, etc., why would teams even try to run the ball? The odds are so stacked against running backs that can't catch. That they may be the next obsolete position on the field. Paul thinks it was obsolete 10 years ago, right? Running backs?
Yeah, I think that largely it would not make sense at all to invest heavily in a running back.
So fullbacks check, kick returners check, middle linebackers check, running backs check. So why bother running the ball if these new rules stick? Please don't say to keep the defense honest.
Well, first of all, no one runs the ball. I mean, very few people run the ball now. The people that run the ball are those who can't throw it. Right.
Well, I think Washington has come out and said we want to be a running team.
Yeah, and they stink.
Yeah,
I went 3-13.
Right. I think they'd rather throw it. I mean, I think you win in this league for not totally, not 99 passes in one run.
And again, Seattle. I understand Seattle won with defense, Marshawn Lynch. That's how they played, and they won. Now, I would still, I would maintain they didn't run the ball from here to there in the Super Bowl, and they racked up 43 points because. Russell Wilson made big throws on third down, and their defense turned the ball over and gave them points. But it wasn't because of the running game they did that.
Right.
Because that was the only thing Denver did well that day was contain Lynch.
Let's see. Jacob from Denmark. So I want to buy a new Patriots jersey, but I can't decide which name I want on the back.
Devlin.
Seems like we get this question every year. The first jersey I got was Hernandez. Then he killed a guy. After that, I bought a Welker jersey, and he went to Denver. I would love to buy a Revis or Gronk jersey, but if the streak continues, I almost have to buy an Arrington jersey.
God, don't buy an Arrington
what?
Jersey.
Anyway, well, he stays. He sticks is basically the point. Anyway, which rookie has impressed the most in camp, and which veteran has a chance to be a surprise cut? Also, how likely is it that Gronk is ready for week one?
James White, and what exactly is a surprise cut? We always argue about this.
Will Smith be a surprise cut?
No, because I think he's probably going to get cut.
I don't think he would be. I think an offensive lineman.
But would he be a surprise?
But I don't know how surprising it is when people have been forecasting it all.
Connolly would be a
surprise. What about Ryan Wendell?
At this point, Connolly would be a surprise.
Oh, he'd be a huge surprise.
Would James Devlin be a surprise cut?
Oh, yeah. I think he would be.
Yes, but.
Andy would cry himself to sleep with his giant pillow.
I would not be happy. But a surprise cut. How about Brandon Browner?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
That would be a surprise cut.
Yeah. Is it possible?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
I mean, Matt Chatham's telling me they don't cut like $230,000, and you're going to cut $1 million?
Well, that's the big thing with Wendell is I think it's $800,000.
Right.
And based on Matt Chatham's research, was it $350 is the most?
Matt Chatham, who knew a little something about being on the roster bubble and, value versus cost.
Probably crunched some numbers in his head.
I made $230 and they didn't cut me, so that means.
He and Larry Izzo used to do the number crunching all the time. Remember Larry Izzo used to cross people off all the time?
They also both like wipes.
Sean
to be honest,
from New Hampshire.
I could have used some wipes a minute ago.
Sean from New Hampshire says he's fired up for Friday. Let's talk about the game tomorrow. What do you guys need to see to feel good about this team facing another playoff team like Philadelphia? Mine is offense, consistently moving the football and scoring in the red zone, and on defense, a pass rush and tight coverage.
On offense, I would say the offensive line. I want to see Brady protected, and I want to see now Solder leaving. I don't know whether he's going to play, but. Last week, the two guys that I thought sucked who are real players were Solder and Ryan. Mm. And so I'd like to see those two guys bounce back. But the offensive line as a whole, I'd like to see play well.
I agree with that part. I'd also like to see Garoppolo play a little bit more and play as well or better than last week.
And on defense, I don't know.
Tackle. I mean, that's something we didn't see last game.
I would like to see the offensive line be a little bit better. But in general, it's just...
It's preseason.
It's preseason. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, there's some, not to sound like Greg Bedard, but there are some concept things, like Andy said, with the offensive line that I think you'd like to see them be a little better. What?
It sounded like you said
no.
The C word.
Conceptual?
It's like when I asked that kid if he was hungry, and
I know.
You know, he cut me off.
And by the way, Paul, yes, it is like that. Much like he asked if he was hung, you stopped that word in an inopportune time.
That's what I asked the kid. I, you know.
Paul, did he?
You kind of did.
Well, yeah. Thank you. And you kind of just said the C word.
Did you just say the C word?
Well, I kind of stopped and I
exactly.
Said, I didn't. I was saying conceptual.
Exactly.
I know, but you stopped at an inopportune time.
And it sounded like you had a okay. T at the end.
Right.
Ay, ay, ay. See you next Tuesday. Strippers has the same question that ended that last one.
That.
He wants to know, gut feeling, do you think Gronk will be on the field week one?
Yes.
I gut says yes. Yeah.
50-50.
His gut carries a lot of weight.
I think he will.
I'm on the record with he plays 19 games, so if he's going to play 19 and
he has to play
one.
The first one.
Well, not necessarily if they're a wild card team, right?
Yeah, but.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he's what I mean is he's going to play.
But I don't think there's any chance he's playing them all.
You're negative. I'm positive.
I'm not
optimistic.
Negative.
You know me. I see the glass half full and rising.
I often think that about you.
Chris with a
Kelvin Benjamin is drawing rave reviews, not for this catch,
that was a great
but
catch.
His entire camp in Carolina. People are raving about what he's doing. You know, a lot of people had doubts. Is he a big receiver, possession guy? People are raving just about him as a receiver.
Chris with a
I had him in our first round early on.
Says, nice job, Fred. The app is much cleaner to look at and faster access. So good. Thanks.
It's impressive when it dropped.
Screw that, Capella.
A different guy from Virginia says, please stop answering the phone from Justin from Virginia. He's a terrible caller. I like mute the radio like when he calls.
Jesus. We don't have these issues in the post game.
We don't have these issues when I host either because I have a 3-like max. 3 likes and you're out.
You hang up on people?
I hung up on him.
another Christian like writes so in from Jacksonville. If Chandler Jones is dropping back into pass coverage, hasn't the offense already won? I think of it like when Chargers had Sean Merriman, and if we schemed for him to be in pass coverage, then we already had an advantage for that play. Offensive coordinators would love to see Jones in coverage instead of rushing the quarterback. And finally, love to PFW caller Chester from Portland, Olivier, and Chris with a TIAN. They are all awesome.
But not as good as postgame callers, Paul says.
But there's some caller and caller love.
Right.
Right mm-hmm. there.
I would agree with that line of thinking, by the way.
Yeah.
I think
if they can scheme to get him off the line, then, yeah.
Well, if he's dropping in coverage, I don't think that's what he does best.
Yeah, I'd rather see him in the backfield going after quarterbacks.
Me too. But a lot of coaches do it. Billy O'Brien's already getting criticized, he and Rack, for dropping
Clowney.
I don't even know how to say it now. I believe it's
Jadeveon
now.
Clowney.
We used to see it with
Merriman.
I'm not going to say any more names because I haven't said any yet anyway.
I think he's had a stroke.
Yeah. Did everything come out all right in there?
A lot came out. I'm not sure it was all right, and I'm not sure I'm done.
It just ran out midstream? Or?
Well, I figured I'd... First of all, I can... You know,
your poor wife.
You can hear the broadcast in there. I know. It's kind of weird.
Really?
Now I know why Brady was yelling at us that day.
Probably over the ceiling.
You know, maybe. But we're supposed to be in a soundproof studio, aren't we? Or sound resistant or retardant?
Well, not the ceiling. It's just plant panels up there.
Why? I didn't say it isn't.
Because they have to get to the pipes and everything. Yeah,
but that's where the noise comes from. It
right.
Goes. You can hear it in the
but
ceiling.
But theoretically, we're supposed to be in a room that limits sound in and out.
Yeah, right. We heard you too, believe me.
You can't soundproof the ceiling. They'll never be able to get up there.
Of course they could.
What do they do in real radio studios?
There's no wall
radio
right there. They can go up through yours and over into ours.
Real radio stations aren't built like this.
But you can see right there. They could go up your and across. It's just big empty space. So if they soundproof this, they could still get up there.
Probably.
That's excuses.
They built this after...
Does it really need to be soundproof?
No, I'm just saying.
Not really.
Do we have issues?
Well, I could hear you.
Well,
and Brady
what?
Could hear us.
So it bothered you? Is that why you couldn't finish?
It felt like he was on
you
the air.
You lost the mood?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I always finish.
Sometimes too early.
Nope.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Josh and Waterloo.
Nope, I'm not saying anything.
Just
see, you crossed the line with that 7-bite.
Yes, right. Somebody else always crossed the line.
Josh from Waterloo. Just wanted to share with you guys some news. Yesterday, I was in court. Not the Dennard type of court. It was family court, so the judge could approve our adoption of 3 boys. When we were first given custody of them in December, they were ages 2, 3, and 4.
Holy crap.
They're great kids, and we're so lucky. Some of the first words from the 2-year-old Mark were, "Go Pats," which he says every time he sees the flying Elvis. One package we received was from Scott in Arizona. We met back in San Diego at the tailgate party the night before the game. We recognized each other from emails that were sent to PFW and have kept in touch since. Thanks for all you do, and you will now have five people yelling, "Go Pats!" at the TV in a few weeks. So that's great.
Congrats and good luck.
Wow, yeah, that's a big
three kids.
Three.
Two, yeah, three, and four.
That's like Atwater and Stir, instant family.
Yeah, I saw the photos. Good-looking.
That's
congratulations.
That's close, though. That's a lot of...
A lot of Irish twins.
A lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you got the terrible twos, the terrible threes, the this, the that, and it's all...
Oh, it stinks in here.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Sergio,
you stink.
Sergio in
Chicago... You stink!
Sergio in Chicago says, on the cable thing you guys quickly talked about, there's an app on Android, and you can get, like, every channel, and it streams live. Then you can get HDMI and hook up your phone to your TV. That's what I do. By the way, I'm 18, and I don't pay cable at all, and I get HBO and ESPN, and I can even get channels in other countries. It's pretty cool. Well, what's the name of the app, Sergio?
Stealing.com.
Yeah.
And can you get Nessun?
Yeah. And
you're
watching
it on your phone?
But you can get HBO for free online.
Probably stealing it.
That's what
you can steal anything.
It's just like an app that gives you free
HBO. A guy with a camera in front of his TV screen watching HBO.
Well, you can also just stream it right from your TV.
It's stealing. It's not legal. Whatever he's doing is not legal.
Is that mega upload thing?
I don't
know. Have you ever heard of that?
I don't know.
I mean, because that Hulu thing. No, what's the other one? Aereo.
Aereo just lost.
Got shot down in court.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but that wouldn't have gotten you HBO anyway. That was getting just the over-the-air free stuff. Yeah.
But there's no way you can get everything the way he's talking about legally. Right. You can get it, I'm sure. Just like we've all done with music and other things, but...
Yeah, like the black boxes when we were growing up.
Right. And I had no problem stealing
everybody
those.
Was stealing cable.
Yep.
No doubt.
Jeremy from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. I was listening to the conversation about people who only have internet and no TV, and it reminded me of a recent Reddit post. Someone posted what Comcast was charging him for internet, and while he had it bundled with cable, they only charged him about $35 a month. He canceled his TV service, and within 6 months, his bill jumped from $35 a month to $100 a month just for internet. Anyway, keep up the great work, and I plan on emailing more often just to hear you guys say where I'm from.
It's criminal what they do. Is Comcast a major sponsor?
No.
Okay. It's criminal what they do.
Yeah. Verizon does it right.
No, they're ethical. They do it the right way. But Comcast, Xfinity, because that's what they do. They bundle it and it's cheap, and people are like, oh, well, I'll cancel, and then they jack that way up, double, triple that.
They're not going to lose money. They're in the business of making money. So.
And it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
Some people can go to Verizon, but I don't have an option. And even, like, I've looked at it. If I go to DirecTV, well, where am I getting my internet from? Comcast. So I got to go back to Comcast or go slow DSL or something.
And sometimes, you know, you think that, oh, it's all Comcast fault. But a lot of times, you know, it's not that easy. Like, for example, ESPN or something, they have these things called carrier fees.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to negotiate with the content owners about getting their content. And, you know, if ESPN decides, okay, we're going to raise our fees, then it gets passed on to the consumer.
And aren't they ridiculous? Isn't it like $5 for ESPN?
It's something like that.
I want to say ESPN's $5 for every person.
And then the individual who hates sports says, well, I don't want it, ESPN, so why should that be included in the bill? But the carriers are like, no, we got to spread that out over everybody.
Right.
You know?
The industry is coming to a point, though. It's a tipping point. I'm sorry, I pay $240 a month. We're at a tipping point.
It's the golden age of content, but we're paying for it out of our ass, you know?
No, I know.
You
pay for it out of our ass.
He really is.
Yeah.
My ass pays for it every day.
Ivan from Orlando, love the show. Here's my problem with advancing 3-4 defense in camp. Now only is Jones and Ninkovich dropping out in coverage, taking away our only two proven pass rushers. But with Collins, Mayo, Hightower sharing two inside spots, we won't have our five best front seven players on the field. We need to stick to 4-3.
Well, just so you know, the odd man out when healthy has been Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I know.
Chandler Jones has been sort of a sub at both end and outside linebacker. And
sounds
Hightower's been on the outside with Ninkovich, with Collins and Mayo inside. Now, again, it's camp. I don't know what this is doing, but Jones, a lot on the practice field when everyone's healthy, has been the odd man out.
And the other part of that is...
cheat in 7-on-7.
4-3, Hightower's not going to be part of that mix on, you know, in sub-packages. On base, obviously,
he
will be. But Hightower's the guy that was coming out early in camp when they were in 4-3s.
Yeah.
Collins is going to be part of it because he's a three-down linebacker, and clearly they love Mayo, too.
Did you hear what he just said?
Collins is clearly is a three-down linebacker, and clearly and they love Mayo. Like, he doesn't warrant being out there. He's not a three-down linebacker, but they think he is.
But the outside guys,
he's unbelievable.
But the outside guys are not both going to be dropping in coverage all the time. Ninkovich, you're not losing Ninkovich and Jones if they're on the field.
Unless
in
it's
7-4.
On 7.
Well, today they were both in coverage on the same
8-on-7,
which made it 8-on-7. That's
we
not,
cheated.
That's not fair. But can you see them not rushing the passer more often than not?
No,
the two
God,
of them?
Not.
I hope not.
Right. Sometimes,
yeah
sure.
They're going to be used in coverage, but more often than not, they're going to be going forward, not back.
And James Anderson's been out for a little bit here this week or so.
Did you think he play a ton the other night and miss a bunch of tackles? Freddie was. I didn't realize that. Freddie said he whiffed on a bunch
he
of
played.
Tackles the other night.
Well,
I know he played.
I mean, he was a run stuffer the other night. That's not his game.
He had a tackle in the open field. He just completely whiffed, fell to his knees as the guy ran by him.
But what I wanted to say is Darius Fleming getting some interesting reps, I think, at times, and just the guy to keep an eye on.
Fleming showed up. I saw him. He was active.
It's funny. I thought he was slow. The other night.
The other night, I didn't think he looked good in the game. I'm talking more about the practice.
No, I know.
I think Fred's got a little Andy in him. He sees one play from James Anderson, he whiffs, and that's like the picture of what James Anderson is. He sees one play from Fleming, that's the picture of Fleming.
The thing with Fleming is, I'll tell you, he fills out the uniform.
Yeah. Eric and I were there.
As Matt Smith would say, he looks good coming off the bus. He's one of those guys. He's big.
Where?
Oh, God.
He's unbelievable.
Really?
Always on his mind, Fred.
Really?
I'm not the one who's like, he fills out a uniform, huh?
Oh, you never heard that term? You never heard that term in football?
Yeah.
Fills out the uniform?
But you really emphasized
it. I mean, does it have to mean like
you
that,
made it a little creepy.
You know.
No, I don't think you did.
You made it creepy.
I almost said something that was going to get me in a lot of trouble.
What?
Nothing.
Let's go back to the phones. Daniel in Coconut Creek, Florida. Hey, Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Guys, what's going on? Thank you. On the whole thing about you know, how much we're paying nowadays for cable or satellite, the contracts that we are
acquiring, your fault, Fred.
Yeah. They require, and you know, on the new generation and the access they have had forever of content online.
Right.
That we have, you know, I'm 38. I haven't experienced, but hey,
I'm 70.
For $120, a jailbroken dual core Android, fully loaded smart TV online, and I can see every channel in the world, half of them on HD, and for what I pay for 1 month of my local Monopoly cable, by the way, because I don't have Comcast here, but I don't have AT&T, I don't have Verizon, I just have one provider. That if I want, you know, a decent package, I'm paying $120, $130 a month for it. Now I pay $50 for high speed 30 megabytes. And through that little box, I can see, again, everything. For some reason, I can see Chinese channels.
What's the name of the app?
Channel. I'm sorry?
What's the name of the service you're using?
It's almost like, you guys know what a Apple TV.
Yeah, I know Apple TV, sure.
All right, so this is an Apple TV on steroids.
Yeah, but what is it called?
It is the it's basically a jailbroken MX2. It's a long name, guys.
Are you stealing? You're stealing.
No.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Of course you are. And the Chinese don't take that kindly.
They like doing it, but they don't like it when people do it from them.
They will hunt you down.
So to be honest, it's an option, you know, and the options are there, and they're a click away. So if you call that stealing, then to be honest, that's someone else's business nowadays, not mine.
I hear you.
I'm just you know.
I don't.
Piracy is not a victimless crime.
I don't hold anybody, you know.
Well, in Rhode Island, isn't it a monopoly, Cox?
No, they're not a monopoly.
Oh, they're because they used to be, right?
For a long time,
they shoved it right down your throat. I mean, you know, what?
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
But that happens everywhere.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Yeah, I can still
you're
go
a Cox
and get
subscriber.
He's so
NFL
proud of himself too.
Yep.
Online, but anyways, I thought you guys should know that. You
well,
know,
we're trying to find out MX with a long name.
Right. I mean,
and it's jailbroken.
It's called Fred, stealing.
Fred and Andy asked you four times what it was.
There's people
you
on the edge
tell
of their
us.
Seats trying to figure out. You've got the key to the golden age of content, and you're not giving us the name of this, Daniel.
Okay, I give it to you. It's a smart TV box. Okay.
Okay.
That is jailbroken.
jailbroken? What is it?
Yeah, that means somebody went in and hacked into it.
So you're definitely stealing.
So you're stealing. And I don't listen. No, I don't have any. Hey. I'm not holding anything against you. Like Andy and I said,
we used to steal.
We all did it.
No, but I'm going to put you in your place right now. Are you telling
no,
me
you're not.
The FCC is stealing? Are you telling me that?
Okay, you're justified in doing it. What is the name?
Give us the name.
You're fine that you're doing it. I don't hold anybody. Yeah. You know, I don't think of you less. I don't. It's not
a man steals bread to feed his family.
It's
is
not
really
a morality
stealing.
Play.
Fell off the truck. Just say the name.
But
our show
I've yet
make
to hear
dinner.
A legal
no,
way.
eBay. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a customer.
You bought it. That's illegal.
Name.
When you buy a prostitute, that's illegal.
Yeah, Andy.
You are doing an illegal thing. I have no problem with it myself, but you're stealing.
He bought it on eBay.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. It's illegal.
It's, okay. But it's like you buy something hot on
right.
eBay.
It's stolen. It's
stolen
illegal.
Goods. It's
and
illegal.
You're stealing.
What's the name?
Basically, it's...
I'll leave it because it's long.
Okay, he's going to email it in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll wait for the email. Thanks, Daniel. Coconut Creek, Florida.
And Coconut Creek.
Authorities
yeah.
are now
yeah.
descending onto his home.
They, and I definitely
triangulated his call.
No! Believe me, not holding any of this against them.
Remember in the back of the day, they'd people would get those black boxes and they have the pay-per-view fights.
Right.
And then they'd have the offer for the T-shirt. You call in now. Yep. And they knew that
order.
Anyone that – you only could see that if you had the stolen
right.
signal.
Yep.
And then they would – they nail they're people going, that way.
There are also bars that would advertise they had the fight, and cable would drive around and be like, well, "You didn't order the fight."
They had a guy that I know. When they came and they did all the upgrades on the street, and so the cable guy comes in and he's like, "You're like the only guy in the street that's actually paying for cable." And he's like, "Well, really? Well, can I get a refund?
Can I stop being the only guy?"
He goes, "Can I get a refund?" Well, no.
That's
like,
nice.
Literally, there was like a whole street, and everybody had a black box. They knew at especially at the end, they knew everybody that was
right.
stealing it. There's
the technology caught up, and
right.
then they could like send bullets, couldn't they, and like burn out your black box or whatever.
That's why I never had one. I always heard those stories, and I always assumed that I would get caught.
Still worth it.
But I, you know, same thing with
all
you,
those
Fred.
Tyson
I,
fights.
I always
and
had friends that, we're gonna have a party over Yubba's house,
right?
You know, we got the got the black box. We're gonna watch the game, watch the fight, whatever it was,
sure. and other stuff.
And something else that might have come up.
JD and
speaking of cocks,
all I can tell you is it was big.
Our show should make cocks bigger. JD in New York
Did you
City.
See how proud he
was
of himself.
He really
he
was.
That.
I knew where he was going.
The big smirk. Yeah. He was so happy.
Jamming it tight.
Shoving it.
JD in New York. I've heard that Benny is down the depth chart a bit in Cincinnati. If he gets cut, do you think he ends up back with us?
I think he could. I think a veteran running back will be on the look.
Last year Bill had Tlaib shadow Jimmy Graham in the Saints game. Do you think Browner could be used in a similar role this year against teams with big athletic tight ends?
Sure.
Seems like he'd be well suited for that.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And Graham will probably, you know, turtle like he did last year.
You can't cover small, quick wide receivers.
I actually think Graham will beat him.
He might, because he's not as good.
I don't think Brown is quick enough.
He might, but I also think there's a chance he'd punch him in the mouth once, and Graham, I'm going home.
Well, that's true, too.
Hit me.
He could turtle.
No fair.
And the mystery is solved on who retweeted the Bill Barnwell tweet that I talked about. It was Albert Breer. Because I do follow.
So he must have known that it was
The
sarcastic.
Whole world knew it was sarcastic, except you.
I did, because I don't follow Bill Barnwell, so
but
I didn't know.
Does everybody follow Bill Barnwell, or did they just know it was ridiculous to take it for what it was worth?
Albert Breer does, because he retweeted it.
You were the only one.
Let's see. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, says, is it just me or does Ninkovich seem a little leaner? Maybe he felt the need for speed? Also saw some Philly beat writer, check, reporting that Macklin torched Revis in practice. He clearly wasn't aware of the Revis, I'm saving my reps practice.
Revis rules.
Encouraged by Butler, a little discouraged hearing Mayo is out and completely done with Mallett. What about the Ninkovich thing? Does he look a little leaner to you?
Not really.
I haven't really noticed it. But that might make sense if they told him, listen, you're going to play 75% of your snaps at linebacker.
Standing up. Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
Where he looks a little leaner, and I hope he doesn't hear anything. Up top looks like it's getting a lot thinner. Have you noticed that?
No. I haven't. I'm shorter than him anyway, so I can't really see up there.
Well, I'm shorter too, but I see from afar. I'm up on a hill.
Sam he's in Chicago, I was looking at the Broncos schedule to see who they're playing before they come to Foxborough. One thing that stood out, was that the Broncos have a bye their fourth week. Stinks to be them. Broncos play the 49ers, then Raiders at home before coming to us. Should be good. And Justin calling in is fine. It's part of the color of the show. The more distinctive the callers, the better. Really? No. Justin is annoying? How do you like spraying the radio booth with Lysol every few seconds? That was kind of a random little thought.
Yeah, I don't think that person likes you spraying.
Yeah, well, too bad. That person's not in the studio.
Here.
Yeah.
High and deep, but not deep enough.
All right, we'll finish up the show with one more call. It's Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, Melvin?
Not much. I got a quick question about the ends on like a 3-4 defense. First of all, who are our starting ends? I've been out of the loop a little bit, so I really couldn't see when I was.
Tommy Kelly and Joe Volano. Ish.
Yeah. If they're in a 3-4, that's who they've been playing.
Now, you're
there.
Missing Chris Jones, who I think would be the guy.
And Dominic Easley, who
Dominic
could be the
Easley,
guy.
Dominic Easley, who I think will be the guy. And also Silva Salinga, who I think is more of a...
He's more of a nose.
More of a Vince guy.
So with... That's kind of gets to my point then. So with Easley, once we get him back, you think he's going to be more of an end rather than the traditional defensive tackle? Because that's got to be a pretty stout guy.
In a 3-4. In a 3-4. Right. Not in a 4-3.
Right, so we kind of once we drafted him, he was kind of that 4-3 speed defensive tackle type guy. But now we're going to push him towards the end.
In a 3-4, the end is more like a tackle.
Right.
Oh,
now think Richard Seymour.
Well, but the interesting thing is, Easley is not Richard Seymour. He's much shorter. He's 30 pounds lighter. Mm-hmm. So I do find that aspect a little bit interesting. Of maybe they've tweaked the mold of that 3-4.
And I wouldn't rule him. Of course, not Tommy playing still huge. A little end in a 4-3 easily.
No.
Yeah.
They could move
rule
a
it out. Mm-hmm. I would never rule anything out.
I can't rule anything out when I haven't seen the guy on the field yet. You know, I can't. I think you're right. I think he could play end.
He's arm in Armstead.
Yeah. No, I'm saying we haven't seen him with full bore in full 11-on-11 work.
We don't know.
I can't say he can't do something when I've never really seen him play.
Fred's worried about his knees, the way he walks.
I am a little bit.
And Browner, too.
Oh, yeah.
Browner.
He looks like he's going to fall down every time.
I think he grew too tall for his body.
When he stands up straight, it looks like an X, like the way his
legs
look.
You know what? He looks like a flamingo.
Yeah.
His legs look like a flamingo when he's walking.
He does.
Bet you won't tell him that.
I wonder if he eats a lot of shrimp and turns pink.
That was terrible.
All right. Melvin, thanks for the call. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Now, remember, for you fantasy football players, Fantasy Football Champs is on at 4 o'clock today. So stay tuned for them. Bill Enright and what's the other guy's name?
Anthony Grace.
Anthony Grace. Tony Grace.
Poor Anthony.
I'm going to call him Tony. Tony Grace and Bill Enright are with the Fantasy Football Champs at 4. They are excellent. We had a lot of people who listened last year and won their leagues. So do that. Get ready for your draft with them. And we will see you next Tuesday. Pre-game social tomorrow. What time?
Booyah, 5:15.
5:15 tomorrow. Be there. And then the game. We'll see you
with
tomorrow.
With us.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.